Thanks for listening to the AM 620 KPOJ podcast, sponsored by the Better World Club, providing travel services, auto insurance, and 24/7 nationwide roadside assistance, but not part of the highway lobby. This is Tom Hartman, Better World Club member since first moving to Oregon. Check out their eco benefits like the nation's only bicycle roadside assistance and their e-newsletter, Kicking Asphalt, at betterworldclub.com.
Welcome to AM 620 KPOJ. Now Tom Hartman, nationwide, 9 to noon, AM 620 KPOJ and 620KPOJ.com.
You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
Well, they're backing down, Citibank, on their $50 million private jet. That's incredible. You know, it's just absolutely incredible. Greetings, my friends, patriots, lovers of democracy, truth, and justice, believers in peace, freedom, and the American way. Our quote for the day from James Madison, a distant relative of mine, but more importantly, the father of the Constitution and the third president of the United States, fourth president of the United States, in his Virginia Resolution, 1798, he wrote, "The right of freely examining public characters and measures and a free communication among the people thereon has ever been justly deemed the only effectual guardian of every other right." See, that's back in the 1790s, how they talked about transparency, what we refer to today as government transparency, and a live and active media. And here we have now Citibank saying, okay, we give. You gave us $45 billion. Now, just consider for a moment, $45 billion that went to Citicorp, what $45 billion means. $45 billion is enough money to hire 1 million Americans for a year and pay them the median American salary of $45,000 a year. The federal government, with that TARP money that George W. Bush and Paulson and all his buddies simply handed to Citicorp, instead, they could have gone out and they could have hired 1 million Americans and paid them $45,000 a year. Or they could have hired 100,000 Americans for a decade, for 10 years, at $45,000 a year. That's the amount of money they gave to Citibank. And what is Citibank doing with enough money to hire 1 million Americans at the median salary? They're taking $50 million, where they were, and buying one of the top private jets in the world for their executives, adding it to the existing fleet, of course. And according to a report from ABC News, Barack Obama is saying no. You know, during the Bush administration, as I've said many times in this program, during the Bush administration, there was this weird dissonance between the way they dealt with banks. Oh, here, you need some money? Here's some money. You don't even have to tell us what you're doing with it. And the way they dealt with General Motors and Ford and Chrysler. Oh, you want some money? Did you fly here on a private jet? You didn't drive to Washington, D.C. from Detroit? You could have hitchhiked, you know. And I have pointed out over and over again, from the Bush administration's point of view, trust fund babies like George W. Bush, you know, born with a silver spoon in his mouth, their concern was the banks. The banks are the repositories of billionaires' money. And while the middle class is protected with or without TARP, the billionaires are not. So the banks are the holders of the wealth of the very wealthy, whereas the auto companies are merely the holders of the jobs of working people. So now, finally, we have a president. And by the way, our phone number today, 866-303-2270. Love to get your thoughts on this. And TomHartman.com if you want to drop into our live chat room. Finally, we have a president who is saying, you know, we're going to change the perspective a little. Instead of looking at this whole economic thing the way that it has been looked at by the Bushies, in other words, let's protect the interests of the zillionaires and the billionaires and the multimillionaires. We're going to change this around, and let's look at this from the point of view of how do we protect the average American? How do we protect Main Street? How do we create jobs for Americans? And one of the ways to create jobs for Americans, one of the ways to protect Main Street, is not for our $45 billion that we gave Citibank, to be used to buy a corporate jet. Yeah, that'll create a couple jobs. You know, there's a pilot for the jet. He's probably making $150,000, $200,000 a year. There's a couple of mechanics. You know, it'll create a couple of jobs. But come on. At the same time that the bank is saying to you, oh, your home was foreclosed? Guess what? Your credit card interest rate is now 30%. I was talking to my brother Stan over the weekend. My brother is, I have three younger brothers, and our dad died a couple of years ago. Our mom is living with Stan and his wife Cindy, God bless him, and she's in pretty rough shape right now. But we all love her dearly and send her our best. And I was talking about brother Stan who for years was the shop foreman for IBEW, or the shop steward, the International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers in Lansing, and electrician in Lansing, and right now is pretty much full-time caring for my mom, but a very astute economic observer. As frankly, all three of my brothers are. My parents raised a good family, I guess. My brothers are smarter than me in a lot of ways, and probably in most ways. In any case, Stan said, why don't they just pass a law that says that a foreclosure cannot be used as part of your credit rating? In other words, that has to be set aside, because there's this epidemic of foreclosures, which is the consequence of an epidemic of fraud in the mortgage industry. And many, not all, but many of the people, perhaps most of the people who are experiencing foreclosures, keep in mind right now, about one out of every 10 homes in America is in or is within 60 days of being in foreclosure. He said, so just take that out of the credit equation. Because what's happening is people are going into foreclosure, they're losing their homes, and that's the time when they most need to have access to credit, to be able to make sure that they have a car to get to work, to make sure that they have a credit card that they can get through for a little while, to be sure that they can borrow a little money, to even buy another house, a smaller house, a less expensive house, you know, to downsize, but they can't do it because they had this foreclosure. What a simple and elegant, I mean, that's not a solution to everything, but it's a piece. So, anyhow, some quick thoughts on that. And this whole thing of economic stimulus, last night, Robert Wexler did an admirable job on Hardball with Chris Matthews, talking about the economic stimulus plan. And part of that plan, $200 million. Now, keep in mind, $200 million is two-tenths of $1 billion, 0.2 billion, out of a $700 billion bailout bill. And so it's a tiny, tiny, tiny fraction. But $200 million sounds like a lot of money, so the Republicans are arguing, $200 million is going to go to family planning. And Wexler's saying, you know, family planning is going to save us money. And it will. Family planning is going to save us money in a whole bunch of ways. Number one, and it's not, and Chris Matthews' response, I think Chris missed the point, and I'm guessing that he'll probably, have gotten it by today, because he's usually pretty astute on these things. But what he thought Wexler was saying was, if we have fewer babies, it'll cost us less money. And that's not the point. The family plan, this $200 million for family planning, what it does is it makes sure that when people don't want children, that they don't end up getting abortions, which are more expensive than contraception, number one. So you're reducing the number of abortions and the cost of the abortions. Number two, that when they don't want to have the children and they don't pay much attention to what's going on and they are not informed about prenatal care, because prenatal care is a big part of family planning. They're not informed about prenatal care. They're more likely to have children with birth defects like spina bifida, which is generally a consequence, or very often a consequence, of a mother's malnutrition, typically a folate deficiency, not eating enough greens during her pregnancy, or fetal alcohol syndrome, drinking during pregnancy, things like this, that many pregnant women, maybe particularly teenage girls when they get pregnant, they've never been informed of this stuff because they never had a good education about this. So it's not about, you know, necessarily reducing the number of children. It's about making sure that the children that are born are, A, wanted, so they don't end up in our foster care system, which is expensive, and, B, that they're wanted and they're healthy, so that we don't all have to pay for the care of long-term disabilities like spina bifida and fetal alcohol syndrome. So arguably, this tiny fraction of money, $200 million for family planning, is an appropriate and, in fact, very prudent investment in stimulating our economy. It's also going to create some jobs, but in stimulating our economy and building the kind of social infrastructure, the kind of society where every child is wanted, more and more of our children are healthy, the number of abortions is reduced, the number of birth defects is reduced, which reduces the burden on an already dysfunctional healthcare system. And I would add one final point. If you really want to stimulate the economy, let's get Medicare for All tomorrow morning. 16 minutes past the hour. Back with your calls right after this.
This is the Tom Hartman Program.
Saving the Constitution. Tom Hartman, nationwide. Weekdays 9 to noon. AM 620 KPOJ. Portland's only progressive talk station.
Hey, it's Tom Hartman. Guys, I know how easy it is to get wrapped up in everyday life. You just flat out ignore your health. I hate to point out the obvious, but sometimes we need to be reminded that without our health, life as we know it becomes extremely difficult. Let me take a few seconds to talk about prostate health and how this small gland can lead to big problems if you ignore it. The classic signs of an unhealthy prostate include the following: difficulty urinating, frequent night bathroom trips, and even sexual dysfunction. Unfortunately, every man will have some sort of prostate-related health issue if he lives long enough. And we all should, right? You should visit your doctor for regular checkups and take Beta Prostate to support proper prostate function. Ignoring your prostate will not make your problems go away. Beta Prostate provides effective, all-natural support. Call and order Beta Prostate risk-free today. Dial 1-800-954-0803. Your satisfaction is guaranteed or your money back. Dial 1-800-954-0803. That's 1-800-954-0803.
You know, the ones, fives, tens, twenties, fifties, and hundreds, that money is backed by what is called the full faith and credit of the U.S. government, the Federal Reserve.
The Mike Malloy Show.
I don't know about you, but I have no faith in this government. And as far as its credit rating, if the U.S. government were rated by one of these rating companies,
what would it be? Zero worth?
It's Mike Malloy.
I mean, how do you rate a nation that's $12 trillion in debt?
Evening, 8 to 11. AM 620 KPOJ. 620KPOJ.com.
That's one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind.
You may think Hollywood and history have told this story, but our moon has another side, a shadowland of dreams, politics, and human cost. Portland Center Stage presents the world premiere of Apollo by Nancy Keystone. Whatever you thought you knew about the space race or the theater, Apollo will open your eyes. Call 503-445-3700 or visit pcs.org.
Hey, thought you were making breakfast.
I am, with McDonald's Breakfast Dollar Menu.
How is that making breakfast?
I'm mixing and matching, you know, putting breakfast together.
We're on a budget.
They're a dollar each? You know, I can't bake warm biscuits or sizzle sausage for that.
True.
I can't put real fruit in yogurt or make crispy hash browns for a buck.
You're so right.
Make your own morning and choose from six wallet-friendly favorites on McDonald's Breakfast Dollar Menu.
This was a brilliant idea.
Yeah, well, I do have my moments.
Breakfast served during breakfast hours only.
Wait a minute. No, she didn't just jump me in line. It is way too early. excuse me. Excuse me. But I know you saw me standing here. Girl, you are lucky I had a sweet McGriddles and orange juice this morning. Because if I hadn't, whoo, it'd be on.
Start your mornings off on the right track with breakfast from McDonald's. A Southern-style chicken biscuit or McGriddle sandwich is enough to put anyone in a good mood and set a positive tone for your day.
There are debt solutions for almost every situation. No matter how much money you owe in credit card debt, all the information you really need is yours free when you call right now for your free debt review. When we learned about the debt solutions they don't want you to know about, we were so shocked at how the credit card companies work to keep you in debt that we have decided to give everyone that calls today a free debt review, absolutely free. That's right. Get your debt solution review absolutely free. Just call 1-800-620-2270. That's 1-800-620-2270 and get the free debt cures review everyone in debt should have. To find out how you can get out of debt now, just call 1-800-620-2270. That's 1-800-620-2270. Get out of debt fast with your free credit card debt review. Call 1-800-620-2270. Again, 1-800-620-2270.
Now more of Tom Hartman Nationwide on Portland's Progressive Talk Station, AM 620 KPOJ.
Yeah, let's all work together. You know, the back to Citibank here. If we're gonna give them $45 billion, why don't we get a seat on the board of directors? Why don't we get to say, you know, there's a couple of executives who made decisions in this company that led it to ruin. Fire them. It's not like they're going to be standing on the corner of 42nd and 8th Avenue, you know, around a 45-gallon drum burning firewood. I mean, you know, these guys have been making millions, hundreds of millions of dollars in some cases, certainly tens of millions of dollars for years. It's not like it's some cold, cruel-hearted thing to fire these guys. They screwed up the company. They're screwing up the country. Fire their butts. Get them out of there. And give we, the people, a seat on the board of the directors, and let's stop this idiocy of buying so-called preferred shares. Preferred share, this is a fancy way of saying non-voting shares. Let's start buying voting shares. Let's do like Warren Buffett did. You know, Warren Buffett came in and he said, yeah, sure, I'll help you bail out. You know, I'll help bail out one of these banks. I'll put some money into it. But I want a return on my investment, damn it. I want a guaranteed return on my investment. And he got it. 866-303-2270, our telephone number. Richie in Dallas, Texas. Hey, Richie, what's up?
Hey, Tom, how's it going?
Good. What's up?
I enjoy listening to your program.
Thank you.
Hey, this is probably a little bit off point, or at least recent point, but you mentioned the auto industry and GM and Chrysler and Ford and the bailout.
Yeah.
Correct me if I'm wrong, and it's very possible, but Ford didn't dime, did they?
No, Ford did not.
Okay. Ford. Here's my problem. And there's so many generalities, you know.
Although I believe that Ford is keeping the door open.
Well, I'm sure they are, and I certainly don't blame them. In fact, I think the CEO, or I really don't remember his title, came from Boeing, and boy, the Ford employees were really afraid because he pretty much sold the intellectual properties of the Ford logo, so in case they go belly up, you know, the bank can take it and do whatever. I guess they just, you know, would put four letters on the back of the car. You pick the letters, but
right.
I just think they're getting a bad rap. Not that I'm necessarily a Ford guy. I am an American vehicle driver. But and this is again kind of off point. I've tried to get in with Ed Schultz because he just really really it seems to me he just sells General Motors product.
Yeah, Richie, I don't want to get into what any other talk show hosts are doing. What's your point?
Well, I just think it's unfair that one of the vehicle manufacturers is getting a bad rap, and you guys are telling everybody that they're getting money and they didn't get a dime thus far.
Oh, Ford. Yeah, okay. Point made. Ford has not taken any money, and you know, good on them for that. You know, on the other hand, this is, by the way, Toyota is getting government money from Japan. And they have, by the way, all along. The Ministry of Industry and Trade, MITI, in Japan, has been a major supporter forever. I mean, without Meaty, there would be no Toyota and no Honda. And so, you know, to say, oh, you know, we're just bailing out American car companies, the Korean electronics manufacturers, they would not exist without government money from Korea. These companies that have come to dominate these industries, and the same thing in China, have come to do so because they followed Alexander Hamilton's 1791 plan for manufacturing and how to build a manufacturing base in a country. They did it, as we did in this country up until the 1980s, when Ronald Reagan and then George Herbert Walker Bush and then probably most aggressively Bill Clinton and then George W. Bush dismantled that whole thing. So, no, it's not about any one evil company or something like that. But broadly speaking, I think, you know, if Ford or, excuse me, GM and Chrysler, at least what they did is they said, okay, we're going to sell the corporate jet. We're going to make it look good. The CEOs are taking a dollar in salary. The banks, they say, oh, well, you know, hey, good times, you have $45 billion. Yeah, give us the money. No, we're not going to tell you where the money went. Sorry. And, yeah, we're going to keep our private jets. And it took Obama's intervention, President Obama, to come in and say, no, don't think you're going to get your private jet. Ain't going to work. Allie in Evanston, Illinois. Hey, Allie, what's up?
Hi, Tom. Thank you very much for taking my call, because I'm confused about something, and I know I have a feeling you will know the answer. Here's what I want to understand. What are all these tax cuts they're talking about putting in the stimulus plan? Are they just the middle-class tax cuts that Barack Obama talked about?
My understanding is that, first of all, the plan hasn't been written yet, so we don't know any of the details. But the two things that I'm hearing everybody talk about are, number one, the campaign promise that Obama made of cutting taxes on people making under $100,000 a year. And that will put some money in the pockets of working people over the short term, and that will provide a short-term stimulus to the economy. Everybody's paycheck will go up slightly because the withholding tables will be changed. The other is offering accelerated depreciation on equipment purchases, things like that, things that will encourage particularly small and medium-sized businesses to buy equipment.
Are those good things?
I think broadly those are okay things. They're not things that over the long term are going to have much consequence at all. And, you know, but they're okay.
Because I don't understand why he's bargaining with the Republicans when we should be having more of this money going into infrastructure. I don't care if they have to make a bigger package to do it.
Yeah, no, I agree with you, Allie. And I don't understand why he's bargaining with the Republicans either. I think he's trying to make nice right now. He's trying to be bipartisan. I think he's going to learn very quickly. He doesn't have to, and it's the wrong road to go.
You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program. Call 866-303-2070.
Annoy Hannity. Listen to Hartman. Tom Hartman, nationwide. AM 620 KPOJ and 620KPOJ.com. Now back to Tom Hartman nationwide on Portland's progressive talk station. AM 620 KPOJ.
आजा जिंद शामी आने के तले आजा जरी वाले नीले आसमाने के तले जय हो.
Yeah, over the weekend, Louise and I went to see this this movie, Slumdog Millionaire, which you're hearing a liner from. What a great movie! I'm not going to get into a whole description of it because I don't want to blow the movie for you. But actually, there is one story. Just a very quick story I got to tell you about this. Reminded by the music, in 1980, I think it was, might have been 79. It was the first time I had been to India. I went with a dear friend of mine, Tom Larson, who used to own a restaurant in Boston, the Pillar House. And Tom was on the board of our charity in New Hampshire. And we were there to negotiate on behalf of a German charity, Salem International, saleminternational.org, to negotiate for a couple hundred acres of land about 100 miles out of Bombay to turn into a program for kids, for orphans, basically. And the first night Tom and I were there, we stayed at the Taj Mahal Hotel. We were paying for the trip ourselves. When I traveled for Salem, I paid my own way, and you know, Tom could afford it. So and the hotel, it's a fancy hotel, but in rupees it wasn't that expensive anyway. So anyhow, we get up at 5 o'clock in the morning, all jet lagged, and go out and look at the balcony of our hotel rooms, and the sun is just coming up, and this flatbed truck comes down the street and pulls up to a corner, and a guy on the back tosses a blanket on the concrete on the sidewalk and lifts out a kid without any legs or with a leg and a half and puts him on the blanket, puts a begging bowl in his lap, and then drives about a block down the street to the next corner, tosses out another blanket, picks up another kid, puts him out like that, and just keeps going down the street like this. And then later that afternoon, the same truck came through, and they picked him back up again and replaced them. And it was like putting out vending machines. And I have told that story a number of times over the years to friends and family, and they all look at me a little incredulous. But when you see Slumdog Millionaire, when you see that movie, you will know what I'm talking about. 866-303, and why, in fact, I wrote about it, and I wrote a whole chapter about it in my book, Prophet's Way. Louise and our youngest daughter, Kareth, and I went back to India back in the late 80s, no, it was the mid-90s, and helped out a fellow by the name of Ratnam, took over an actual, real, legitimate, solid, good, well-done orphanage and program for blind children. Many of these children had been blinded by the criminal gangs. And just some real horror stories coming out of India. You need to see Slumdog Millionaire. Larry in Long Island, New York. Hey, Larry, what's up?
Hey, how are you doing today, Tom?
I am very well, Larry. Thank you very much. What's up?
Listen, you guys are talking about Citibank, and I have a mortgage with them, okay? And I'm a month and a half behind on my mortgage. And all I asked City Mortgage to do, if at all possible, was put that month and a half on the end. Let me get current, and I could stay current. And all they'll do is send me a piece of paper allowing me not to pay my mortgage for 6 months, and at that time reevaluate whether or not I qualify for a mortgage.
Right.
Okay? My credit being bad because of over the last 4 or 5 months I haven't paid my mortgage on time, I don't know that I can qualify for a mortgage.
Right.
So I'm at the mercy of Citibank, and they're buying $50 million jets. We're giving them billions of dollars, and my credit is being destroyed.
Yep, yep. And this, and by the way, just out of curiosity, Larry, are you behind, if you don't mind my asking, are you behind because you're a victim of a bad economy, or are you behind because you got one of these weird mortgages that instantly adjusts upwards and it caught you?
No, I have a fixed-rate mortgage, and I have about $200,000 in equity in my home. My wife was injured at work about 2.5 years ago, and all she gets out of workers' comp is $100 a week, and we had a fight to get that because she went to see a comp doctor who said there was absolutely nothing wrong with her when three surgeons said that her back had to be fused.
Yeah, yeah. So bottom line, you got screwed by the economy and just life circumstances, but still, it's Citibank. We have this large systemic problem here in the United States. The banks are at the core of the problem, and meanwhile, these CEOs are strutting around with $100 million, $50 million, $10 million, bonuses and compensation packages. Virtually none of them have been fired. Nobody is taking control of the boards of directors of these corporations, and they have to be shamed by the President of the United States into not buying a new corporate jet while they're keeping, apparently, the ones that they have. Larry, thank you for sharing your story with us and for calling. Every American should be outraged by this. I mean, this is the Republican worldview writ large. You just, rich people, throw money at them. Working people, let's make them jump through some hoops. Let's not forget in 1997 how Alan Greenspan told the Wall Street Journal, I document this in my book, Screwed, how the important job functions that he had as chairman of the Fed was that whenever the economy started getting really good, he had to increase the interest rates to slow things down a little bit, to increase the unemployment level to maintain what Greenspan referred to as a certain minimum necessary level of worker insecurity. That's how these guys think. Joel in Oakland, California. Hey, Joel.
Hi. Props to you. Love your show.
Thank you. What's up?
Just as an aside, before I get to the main question I wanted to ask you, I think you got it wrong when you said that Bush was born with a silver spoon in his mouth.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure that the medical evidence actually showed that to be a foot.
Yeah, as Ann Richards said of his father, yeah.
But I wanted to run by you a intuitive insight that I had about the time of our stock market crash recently, and I prefer calling it a panic, using the old term. I think it's more descriptive of how these things start. And I wanted, you know, my insight was that there's a nexus between our economic crisis and our ecological crisis.
Yes, there is.
And I was wondering, this insight was that it has to do with the dual issues of liability and profitability, and whether you would agree or not that there might have been a, not a conspiracy, but some sort of a first a realization or coming to realization on the part of the insurance industry and big oil and, you know, the fiduciaries that handle their concerns.
What you, I wrote about this, and Jesus, you rarely do I mention my books at all on this show, and this isn't shameless plug day, it's just coincidence, but I wrote about this in Last Hours of Ancient Sunlight back in 1996 when I first wrote that book, that at that time, Swiss Re, which is the was at that time the world's largest reinsurance company, and it was the insurance companies that back up the insurance companies, Swiss Re was already reevaluating their ability to offer insurance to insurance companies for things like natural disasters as a consequence of global climate change. And the insurance industry as a whole was looking at how natural disasters were becoming more prevalent. And the response, Joel, from the right wing, and we've had these guys on this show, was, oh, well, you know, the reason why the damages is going up, you know, billions of dollars, hundreds of billions of dollars every year, isn't because there's more destructive storms. It's because beachfront property is worth more. We've got a real estate bubble, don't you know? Well, that actually is a small factor, but it's only a small factor. So yes, there is a confluence between the economic disaster and the ecological disaster, and it's going to get a lot worse as time goes on. We already have at least 200 to 400 million people who are climate refugees at this moment. You know, when I broadcast this show in March from the border of Darfur by satellite phone, we were seeing some of them. Obviously, there's a whole bunch of issues at play in South Sudan, not the least of which is that the oil has been discovered there, and the Chinese are in there working with Bashir in the north, who's a war criminal, to try and get that oil and steal that land. But a lot of what's going on is that the Sahara is moving south. The desert is moving south in northern and central Africa, and it's taking the lives of people with us. It's just a terrible, terrible thing. Bob in Hillsboro, Oregon. Hey, Bob, what's up?
Hey, Tom. Thanks for having me on. We're hearing, I mean, Americans, we're tuned in, we're listening. By the way, you got a great show. I listen to you all the time. So does a wife, friends,
thanks,
neighbors, you name it. You got a great show. Learn a lot from you. But on this $825 billion supposed economic recovery package that Obama's putting together in his think tank, I'm hearing only 7% of that $825 billion's for infrastructure. That's only $58 billion, Tom. Come on, that's not going to do dilly squat.
Yeah, well, it depends on how you define infrastructure, first of all. And secondly, my understanding is that the details of this thing are still rapidly being worked out. So,
Tom, I think it's going to be at least 20, 25% of that if it's going to be 820. I mean, you need $165, $200 billion infrastructure package.
Yeah.
And if he doesn't get anywhere close to that, and by the way, I'd like to hear what Hilda Solis's opinion on this. She's the labor secretary for Obama. What I'd like to hear her take on it. How much does she say needs to be appropriated out of that package?
Yeah.
For
my sense of it, you know, the problem is that and Bob, your point is well made. The problem is that Obama has people advising him. Some of his economic advisors are kind of Republican light, others are progressive Democrats, and he's trying to forge a consensus, trying to forge a middle ground. And I don't think this is any time for a middle ground. I think this is a time for something that is large and bold and is actually going to work and is going to work very rapidly. You know, funding community action programs around the country in a wild and crazy way, bringing back CETA and the other job training programs like that. I mean, we've done many of these things before, reinstituting, if necessary, the WPA. I think that we really need at least $2 trillion to make this work.
Visit HartmanRadio.com for live streaming video of the Tom Hartman Program.
Truth is his weapon. Tom Hartman, Nationwide, AM 620 KPOJ and 620KPOJ.com.
The hardest part of any home improvement project is finding a good quality contractor, somebody who's going to do the job right, complete it on time and within budget, and not going to hassle you. So who do you call? Who do you trust when you need a plumber, a painter, an electrician? I'll tell you who to call. Like me, call Angie's List. Before we signed up for Angie's List, we had a disaster contractor install a kitchen counter. We used Angie's List to find a handyman to show up and fix everything. They really came through for us. More than 650,000 homeowners nationwide use Angie's List for ratings and reviews on more than 300 service categories, even doctors. It's a word-of-mouth network for consumers. Angie's List is a growing collection of homeowners' real-life experiences with local service companies. Now the people who join Angie's List, they're like you. They're looking for a way to find trustworthy companies that perform high-quality work. To join Angie's List, go to AngiesList.com and eliminate the fear of hiring the wrong company. I joined Angie's List, and you should too today at AngiesList.com. 1-888-888-LIST. 888-888-LIST.
Carl Wolfson and friends.
Let's get to Joe the plumber. He's covering the war in Israel.
6 to 9.
You're not going to believe what he said.
I'll be honest with you. I don't think journalists should be anywhere allowed war. And if you're going to sit there and say, well, look at this atrocity, you don't know the full story behind it half the time.
Yeah, you know, we should just take what the Pentagon says. No atrocities. You know, that's just war.
It's Carl Wolfson.
I think he's one of those people that had his 5 minutes of fame and now thinks he's really smart.
I kind of lean that he's an idiot.
Morning, 6 to 9. AM 620 KPOJ. Portland's only progressive talk station.
Worried about losing your home? Is your bank threatening to foreclose? Well, there's hope. Operation Hope, America's leading financial literacy and empowerment nonprofit. If you're facing mortgage payment challenges, we just may be able to help. Get free, reliable information and guidance by calling the Operation Hope Mortgage Hotline at 888-388-HOPE. That's 888-388-4673. Look, don't lose your home just because you didn't pick up the phone. Make that call today or visit us at operationhope.org.
Here's what's happening at AM 620 KPOJ.
Don't miss the 2009 Portland International Auto Show, February 5th through 8th at the Oregon Convention Center. The 2009 edition of the Auto Show features 33 different manufacturers and includes everything from luxury cars and convertibles to sports cars, hybrids, and economy cars. Check out the all-new 2009 models and get a sneak peek of selected 2010 intros and concept cars. Plus, you can enter to win a new vehicle courtesy of the Oregonian, OregonLive.com, and the Metro Portland New Car Dealers Association. For more information, visit AM620KPOJ, keyword auto. Join AM620KPOJ at Ray Reese Hyundai, located at 1235 East Burnside Street in Portland, Saturday from noon to 2 p.m. Stop by the KPOJ booth and enter to win a brand new Nintendo Wii, courtesy of the Metro Portland New Car Dealers Association. And be one of the first five people to test drive a car. Get a pair of tickets to the 2009 Portland International Auto Show.
And that's what's happening at AM620KPOJ, Portland's progressive talk station.
Hey, Carl Wolfson from The Morning Show. January is National Eye Care Month, a time when many of us use our new health insurance plans to get our eyes checked. Sadly, millions of people around the world don't have this luxury. This month, stop by Eyes on Broadway and donate your old glasses, which will be redistributed when Dr. Tom Barreto travels to Peru this March to perform eye exams for those less fortunate. A great way to start out the new year. Donate your old glasses at 2300 Northeast Broadway or learn more at eyesonbroadway.com.
What's worse than losing half of your investments? It's recovering and letting it happen all over again. I'm Bill Meyer, president of Strategic Group, a Portland investment advisor firm. If you're looking for an investment advisor that has a different strategy geared for investing in this volatile market and have 500,000 of investable assets, call now for a free consultation. 503-222-9737.
Real people, real results. Strategic Group.
Now more of Tom Hartman Nationwide on Portland's progressive talk station, AM 620 KPOJ.
Yes, Citibank. Welcome back. 9.5 minutes before the hour. Tom Hartman here with you. $50 million jets with $45 billion bailouts? Come on, give me a break. 866-303-2270, our telephone number. David in Michigan, listening on WDTW in Detroit. Hey, David, what's up?
How you doing, Tom? I love your books and I love your show.
Thank you.
I just want to comment on this, in my view, galactic disaster of a stimulus package that's being worked out right now. It's horrible. And, you know, the Democrats ran on a platform of an economic stimulus package that included billions for infrastructure.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you look at the plan right now, it's only infrastructure is only represented by 18% of this bill. 33% of it is in tax cuts.
Yeah.
And then Nancy Pelosi, that I read yesterday or the day before, said, and any credible economist will tell you this, that you're going to get more bang for your dollar with infrastructure spending than you ever will for tax cuts.
Right. There is a qualitative difference, though, David. And first of all, let me say I broadly agree with you. I don't think that this bill is a disaster. I just think it's nowhere close to what it needs to be. But with a tax cut for working people, now tax cuts on rich people do not stimulate the economy. We've seen that over and over again. But a tax cut on working people will produce. Well, you know, just hear me out here. A tax cut on working people will produce a small but immediate stimulus, just like those $300 and $600 checks that they sent out, you know, a while back. That will produce a small and immediate stimulus. Infrastructure projects will produce a stimulus, but it's going to take anywhere from 6 months to 3 years before you see the effect of that. So combining the two does make sense. I just think that their proportions are off. You know, the tax cuts maybe should be 10% of it, and B, the size of the whole package. I mean, $800 billion, we've got, you know, a hole that's been blown in the side of our economy that's essentially a $2, $3, $4 trillion hole at least. And you can't plug a hole with this little $800 billion piece of bubble gum.
Well, I don't have a problem with the middle-class tax cut. I know that's not going anywhere because Americans love that idea.
Yeah.
Obama promised it in his campaign. It's not going anywhere. It's the business tax cuts. Yeah. But Paul Krugman, I just bought his book, his latest book, and he says you get $1.59 back in GDP for every dollar you invest in infrastructure. And when
right.
you invest in tax cuts, you're lucky to get 50 cents
that's right.
back on the dollar.
That's right. The difference,
even
though, being that that
– at all.
The difference being, though, that return you get on the tax, broadly, first of all, Krugman's right on tax cuts if you include all tax cuts of all income categories. If you include tax cuts on people who are earning under, you know, under $50,000, $60,000, $70,000, people who spend virtually all of their own money, you actually will get more than a dollar back because that money is going to go directly out into the economy. Whereas, you know, if it's wealthy people, it's going to go into savings, it's going to go into banks in the Cayman Islands or whatever. But you're absolutely right. The point is that tax cuts are a short-term stimulus. The long-term stimulus is infrastructure and all the things associated with it. And by the way, let us not forget, and perhaps their use of language is imprecise in this, but your point is well taken, David, is that there are two kinds of infrastructures that we need to be attending to, that we need to be paying very careful attention to. There is the infrastructure that we generally think of, physical infrastructure, bridges, road, rail systems, electrical systems, internet lines, things like that. There is another kind of infrastructure that I would say is at least as important and arguably even more important, and that's our intellectual infrastructure, our human infrastructure, making sure that our workforce is healthy, making sure that our workforce is ready to go to work, making sure that our workforce is well educated. And the infrastructure investment that we could be making today that would build our human infrastructure is free college education and national health care. Those two things will stimulate the economy, in my opinion, as much as and arguably more than building highways. So let's not forget the human infrastructure that goes along with everything else. Barbara in Boca Raton, Florida, listening on WINS. Hey, Barbara, what's up?
Hi, Tom. I wanted to ask if there was any way legally our government can require the banks that took the first TARP bailout money, if we can require the banks to pay back some or all of that money, even if it's only in installments.
To the best of my knowledge, we can't, Barbara, because the way the legislation was written and the way the thing was administered and the way that Paulson passed out the money, there were not those kinds of strings attached to it at the time. And you can't go back after the fact and say, we had a deal, but now we're going to change the deal. So, you know, unfortunately, it's a great idea, and I wish we could. I really wish we could, because it's something that really needs to be done. But don't think so. Kim in San Francisco. Hey, Kim.
Hey, Tom. One thing I want to say that the last election really showed me more than ever, and in fact the inauguration did, is the chasm between the wealthy and the working class. And most of all, it was irksome to me that the media was so clueless about what's happening on the ground for those of us. And I'm going to say something. I have a problem, Tom, when I hear liberals, and I'm about as good a Democrat as you can get, talking about retraining us. That's retraining us for what?
It's a joke. Retraining.
California here, Tom, it's really a joke. We have an incredibly oversaturated labor pool. I'm going to tell you something else about the people that are being laid off now. I'd like somebody to take a really good look and see if the people that are being laid off are people 50 years old and above, because they are at the top of the pay structure, and we've
That's
got
right.
college grads, and you know, the whole Microsoft thing, I guarantee you that after they lay off all those Microsoft workers, they will bring in, you know, Tata here in California.
They'll bring
the
in new people at half that wage. No, Kim, you're absolutely right, and the whole retraining thing is a scam. It's a scam that was sold to us by George Herbert Walker Bush and Bill Clinton as part of NAFTA. And that's when they started pushing this whole retraining thing. They said, they came right out and they said, NAFTA is going to cause American manufacturing jobs to go elsewhere, and so we need to retrain people. Remember Clinton giving speeches about this? So we need to retrain people for the high-tech jobs and the new economy. It was a scam then. It's a scam now. Coming up next, Dan Gaynor.
You're listening to Tom Hartman.
Thanks for listening to the AM 620 KPOJ podcast, sponsored by the Better World Club, providing travel services, auto insurance, and 24/7 nationwide roadside assistance, but not part of the highway lobby. This is Tom Hartman, Better World Club member since first moving to Oregon. Check out their eco benefits like the nation's only bicycle roadside assistance and their e-newsletter, Kicking Asphalt, at betterworldclub.com.
Welcome to AM 620 KPOJ. Now Tom Hartman, nationwide, 9 to noon, AM 620 KPOJ and 620kpoj.com.
You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
Okay, I have here before me the notes. The agenda, the meeting agenda approved, the City Public Meetings Sustainability Zoning Code for the city of Madison, Wisconsin, where we're on the air on the mic, and this meeting, call to order, the introduction, public comment, the adjournment, the layout, a whole variety of areas, broad strategies, in fact, to apply to the zoning code rewrite. For example, the zoning code should adapt to meet the demands of climate change. Use zoning to address or mitigate effects or adapt to climate change. Remove barriers to mitigating the effects. Adapting to climate change, for example, trees, green space, mobility, renewable energy, land use. That's number 10. Number 11, write the code to allow the city to function when automobile travel will be severely limited and oil-related products, including food and heating fuel, become prohibitively expensive because of scarcity and high cost of fuel. Well, you know, these are some ideas. There's also some anti-ideas at the end. There's a bunch of things where they say things we won't do. Excuse me. Sustainability ideas that cannot be addressed through zoning. And they involve virtually everyone. Starts out with either the word prohibit or require. So these are we're not going to prohibit restrictive covenants on renewable energy. We're not going to prohibit heated sidewalks and driveways. We're not going to require businesses to turn off lights and such, things like that. So these are more like in the category of suggestions. Well, the Business and Media Institute is quite concerned about this. And Dan Gaynor, the vice president of the Business and Media Institute and T. Boone Pickens fellow over at businessandmedia.org, is on the line with us. Dan, why are conservatives so freaked out about local governments addressing some things that can be done to help the problem of climate change, and B, some things, you know, getting ready for the consequences of it. I lived in Detroit when the first oil crisis happened, and in the 70s, late 70s, late 70s, and in 3 days, every grocery store in that town was stripped bare. I mean, shouldn't there have been a city plan for that? What's wrong with this?
Well, you're talking about the difference between a short-term disaster plan and a long-term government intrusion into every aspect of people's lives. But if Madison wants to do this, you know, on one level, I'm okay with that. People choose to live in Madison. You get the government you want. You elect the government. We have a democracy. That's wonderful. But the reason why conservatives are focusing in on this is because this is a lesson what we clearly think is heading down the pike for all of us. And that is, as Madison goes or California goes, and we've seen it with auto emission regulation. As California goes, so goes the country. So
yep.
What is considered extreme at one point later on becomes a guideline.
Yeah, very often, and particularly when it has to do with things that affect the public welfare.
Well,
isn't the bottom line here, Dan, that the position that you're taking, and I'll be really rough about this. Feel free to clean it up. But the position that you're taking is, if the oil companies want to make a fortune and the car companies want to make a fortune, a lot of profit throwing carbon dioxide out into the atmosphere, which is then going to cost cities and individuals a lot of money to deal with. For everything from the cancers caused by the fumes to the global warming consequences. You know, to hell with the individuals. We're all about making money for the oil companies.
No, actually, that's not my position. It's interesting. Every action human beings take, how fast you drive on the road, how much food you personally choose to eat could be argued as a societal impact. Because if you get cancer, you impact, or have an accident, you impact the health care of others.
That's why we have speed limits.
But
are you arguing against speed limits, Dan?
No, I'm saying people break a lot of these rules all the time. The more government intrudes into every aspect of your life, mandating that if you cut down one tree, that you suddenly have to grow two, plant two. Everything is a cost. Everything is a regulation. Everything.
So you think we should stop enforcing speed limits?
I'm using an example, not talking about just speed limits. I'm saying everything we do has a societal cost. So you're talking about one thing. But I'm saying everything does. So the more you get government involved in that, I would think you particularly would not like the idea of government mandating all sorts of things in your life.
And here's the problem, Dan. I don't think anybody likes government mandating all kinds of things in their lives. On the other hand, you know, when there's a disaster, everybody is like, what happened to government? And we both know that. But here's the problem. We have industries that have for centuries now internalized profits and externalized expenses. The expense that they have externalized is the probably somewhere between 100,000 and a quarter million cancers a year produced by benzene and other high fractions that are in gasoline that could be removed from gasoline, but it's very expensive. They don't help gasoline burn in cars more effectively, but they're carcinogens. They're being put into the atmosphere by these companies. There is the global warming, which I know you don't think is happening, but
we disagree even on my own assessment. I'm a skeptic. I'm a skeptic of personally most things I encounter.
Well, that's why I'm using the benzene example first, because we both know that auto exhaust is a carcinogen, right? We both agree on that. Don't we?
There's a lot of carcinogens in our atmosphere.
Of course.
There are.
Of course
there are.
A lot
of them are natural.
Of course there are. Absolutely. But gasoline exhaust is a carcinogen, whereas exhaust from ethanol is not. You with me on this?
Okay.
So
you're into science. I'm not familiar with the carcinogen.
Well, ethanol only has three things in it, carbon, hydrogen, and oxygen. So when you burn that, what it produces is water, hydrogen and oxygen, and carbon dioxide, carbon and oxygen. Because it only has those three elements in it. You know, simple sugars and starches are made out of carbon, hydrogen, and oxygen, pure and simple. Gasoline has thousands of compounds in it, many of which are highly toxic and add nothing at all to its ability to burn. There's a lot of basically the toxic waste in gasoline. And so as long as these companies are selling gasoline, and encouraging us to use gasoline rather than, you know, electricity or rather than ethanol, we're getting cancers. Shouldn't we, as a society,
just let me just raise a question. I didn't think you liked electricity either, because 50% of our electricity in this country comes from coal, 20% comes from nuclear power, and then some of it comes from, you know,
I agree with
gas.
You. Those are problematic. I would like to see, you know, 100% of our electricity coming from renewable sources. But I'm trying to keep this to a discussion of what's actually real right now, rather than getting into rhetorical or theoreticals. Shouldn't we as a society... You know, if your kid gets asthma as a consequence of gas fumes or gets cancer, or if somebody else, or simply we simply know that, you know, there's a couple hundred thousand every year in the United States cancers as a consequence of burning gasoline. Shouldn't the auto industry or shouldn't the oil industry pay for some of that?
Well, what are the consequences of not burning gasoline, too? How many people are stuck at their homes if they have an injury or need a doctor and can't get anywhere?
But that's not my question. You know,
My question is
how do we
both ways?
What you're saying is that states and municipalities and whatnot, in California with the clear air standards, Madison, Wisconsin, zoning for the future, that they should not be able to deal with these externalities.
If they do, you know, from a conservative position, frankly, I think a lot of ordinary people would. You can make everything we do so perfect, but also. Then it's impossible to do it.
But I'm talking about dealing with it. I'm going to take this a step beyond this and be even more radical than I think you can handle, Dan. I
read
that
your
as
book.
A joke.
You're going to go a long way.
I'm going to go nuts here. Fair warning. I would suggest to you that because what Madison is talking about doing is dealing with the externalities, that is the costs that are not being picked up and paid for by the oil companies and the auto industry by and large and the coal industry and the power industry, which are providing most of these greenhouse gases and most of these poisons in our atmosphere, that they should not just use tax dollars to pay for these things that I think that they should be doing. They should figure out a way to bill those companies for them.
Well, they can try, but then, of course, they'll end up in court and they'll, you know, fight for years. And this is why everything in America is expensive. This is why you have tags on shirts telling you, you know, warning labels on clothing, warning labels on virtually everything we have, because you want a litigious society where everything is battled out in the court.
I'm not talking about litigation. I'm talking about recovering actual damages.
But that's how you
actual
get actual
costs.
Damages. That's what how you get actual damages in society. You know, these companies have done... Everything
so we should not sue these companies.
Obeying the law, obeying the regulations set up by the EPA and the very local governments you're talking about, they've obeyed everything. And now retroactively, you want to go after them for creating things you now don't like.
No, I want to go after them starting right now. They've been killing people for 100 years. I'm not going to ask them for past
payments. If you're
one
of these companies, you'll simply say, well, the heck with Madison, Wisconsin. You don't have to sell cars there.
Well, let me be bigger than that. I think we should do this nationally.
Well, you can try, and then, of course,
it's called a carbon tax.
Our society to a halt.
It's called a carbon tax. It's working in Europe.
Oh, it's not working in Europe, but it's
trying. It's been working for 30 years. They have their car standards are much better than ours because they jack up the cost of gasoline.
But nobody's obeying even the Kyoto regulations.
Okay. Well, it's an interesting conversation to have. People can read Dan's piece and others on the topic over at businessandmedia.org. Dan, always good discussing these topics with you. Thank you.
Is indeed. Thank you. Take care.
Thanks for dropping by. Businessandmedia.org, the website. 16 minutes past the hour.
This is the Tom Hartman Program.
Blindingly logical. Tom Hartman, nationwide, AM 620 KPOJ and 620KPOJ.com.
I'm Todd Davis, CEO of LifeLock, and what I'm about to tell you is true. My real Social Security number is 457-55-5462. You may think I'm crazy, but I know my identity is safe. At LifeLock, every member is covered by our $1 million total service guarantee.
Every 3 seconds, someone's identity is stolen. It's not just the money that's being stolen. It's your reputation, your credits, and your valuable time to fix the huge mess. At LifeLock, we aim to prevent identity theft before it happens, and if anything happens while you're a client of LifeLock, you'll be protected by our exclusive $1 million total service guarantee. With LifeLock, you'll also see a huge reduction in junk mail and pre-approved credit offers. Call 1-800-643-1385 right now and get 30 days of LifeLock for free. Protect yourself and your family from identity theft. And when you call right now, get 30 days free. Call now, 1-800-643-1385. That's 1-800-643-1385. Again, 1-800-643-1385.
AM 620 KPOJ conducts various contests weekdays and weekends at various times, offering various prizes to its listeners. By participating in a KPOJ contest, you're agreeing to be bound by the official contest rules for the contest. No purchase necessary. Participants and winners must be U.S. residents, at least 18 years old, and may only enter one time unless otherwise stated in the complete official contest rules. Only one prize per household for any contest within a 30-day period. For complete contest rules, visit the main office of this station during regular business hours.
Is your credit score holding you back? Are you paying more for everything just because you don't have perfect credit? Well, it's not your fault. Credit card companies are doing everything they can to keep you in debt and never let you escape. But I've got a system that can fix your credit score once and for all. And I'm going to send you a free tape showing you the power of my proven system today.
My credit score is now 758. My wife and I are shouting for joy right now.
Hi, I'm John Commuta, creator of the Transforming Debt into Wealth system. My system doesn't just fix your credit score, it will permanently rebuild your credit status so it can never come back to haunt you again. It works no matter how bad your credit is or how much debt you have.
Our credit score was in the low 600s and now we're at 780.
You can wipe the slate clean once and for all. Call right now and I'll rush you my free tape. For your free tape, call 1-800-900-3142. That's 1-800-900-3142. 1-800-900-3142.
Ron Reagan here, talking about an important issue that all men should take very seriously, prostate health. Guys, are you urinating more frequently? Are you waking up at night to urinate? Are you experiencing sexual dysfunction? Don't ignore the warning signs. Prostate problems begin around age 40, and by 60, one out of every two men will have these symptoms. And they don't go away. Take Beta Prostate. It has 3,000 times more concentration of the key ingredient in saw palmetto. It's so powerful, you'd have to take 100 saw palmetto capsules in order to get the same health benefits of one Beta Prostate. Try it risk-free for 30 days and give your prostate the nutrition it needs. For a risk-free trial of Beta Prostate, call 1-800-743-7142. That's 1-800-743-7142. With Beta Prostate, you get results or you get your money back. Call 1-800-743-7142. That's 1-800-743-7142 to order Beta Prostate today.
How much could you be saving on car insurance? $300, $400, $500? There's a real easy way to find out. Just go to GEICO.com or call 1-800-947-AUTO.
Beaverton Lodge Retirement Residence offers independent senior living in the heart of Beaverton within walking distance of the Beaverton Library and the Stuhr Senior Center. Visit and discover the affordable luxury of Beaverton Lodge with its spacious apartments, large decks, and in-room storage, all in a woodland setting. Visit their website at beavertonlodge.com.
Now back to Tom Hartman nationwide on Portland's progressive talk station, AM 620 KPOJ.
Leaned back towards the window, crushed out a cigarette, but then he faded off to sleep. And somewhere in the darkness, the gambler, he broke even. But in his final words, I found an ace that I could keep.
Yep, the negotiating strategies the Obama administration is learning with the Republicans. That's amazing out there. It's just amazing. This issue, by the way, of capturing externalities is it, you know, there's a couple of areas where, broadly speaking, Americans had an understanding of these things 30, 40, 50 years ago. And because of 30 years of Republican domination of the media, Republican domination of our public school system, and the war against education that happened in the 1980s, the war against not just teachers' unions, but against textbooks and civics education, that people just don't get. People used to understand why labor was a good thing in the history of labor. It's not even taught in our schools anymore. People used to understand why externalities were a big deal. It's not even taught in our schools anymore. The whole idea of externalities is something that's not even considered anymore, that a company that any kind of an activity, but particularly a for-profit company, on the one hand is doing something that's making a profit, and on the other hand is generating expenses. And some of those expenses are internal to the company, right? They've got to buy equipment, they've got to pay for their labor, they've got to pay their rent, all that kind of thing. And, you know, those are the obvious expenses, and they pay those expenses. But some of those expenses are expenses that they dump off on you and me. And they dump them off on you and me because they're expenses that have to do with the common good. It used to be back, you know, 50, 60 years ago, and this is why I said, you know, people used to know about this and they don't now. I remember when the Cuyahoga River in Ohio caught on fire. I was a little kid when that happened, when that river caught on fire, because there were so many factories along that river that were discharging their toxic waste into the river. And refineries. They were just pouring it into the river. Everything in that river was dead. I remember when Lake Erie, I grew up in Michigan, right? I grew up in the Midwest. I lived in Detroit. We lived near Chicago. I grew up in Lansing. I was a program director on a radio station, both in Lansing. I worked in Lansing Radio for 10 years, also up in the Upper Peninsula. I've been all over that state. And I remember when Lake Erie was dead. There was virtually nothing alive in that lake. This was back in the 60s and 70s, because all of these companies were dumping all their waste in the lake. And we all figured it out in the 70s. You know, Rachel Carlson came out with Silent Spring. I think that book was published in 65, as I recall. And everybody got it, that these companies were externalizing an expense, and that expense was being picked up by nature, and ultimately by us. They were dumping their waste in nature, and nature was something that was shared with us. And then the dioxin and the Love Canal and all these other things, and everybody understood this in the 70s, in the 60s and 70s and 80s. And we got really good about it, actually. You know, and the EPA came in and we said, you know, companies, you're going to have to clean up your act. And so now here we are 30 years later, and people, I would say probably the majority of people under the age of 30 or 35 have never even considered, and this is not a knock on them. I mean, this is just, you know, it's, I guess, you know, back in the 60s and 70s, the work got done well. And tragically, this never got incorporated in school's curriculum, have never even considered the idea that corporate activity, in many cases, involves externalities that are intangible. In other words, they're externalizing expenses. They're externalizing waste. They're externalizing costs. They're not paying the costs. They're dumping them on somebody else. And the somebody else is the fish in our rivers, the birds in our air, the animals and plants around us, and perhaps most important from the human point of view, although I would argue that all of this is interrelated and equally important to humans as well as everything else, us. The cancer, the rates of cancers that are exploding, the rates of autism that are exploding, the rates of childhood diseases that are exploding, all of these things right across the board are the consequence of corporate activity where corporations are running off with the profits, their CEOs are making millions, tens of millions, hundreds of millions of dollars, they're buying their corporate jets. When they get in trouble, they go for government bailout, which, by the way, is another externality, right? I mean, this is a classic example. Let's apply this to the banks. What was the externality here? The externality was the risk they took that they knew they could dump on us. If they didn't think that they could dump that risk on us, there was no externality. They would have had to pick it up. But because they could dump it on us, banks going belly up and taking $45 billion, that's enough money to hire a million people for $45,000 a year, which is the median income, more or less, close to the median income for the American family in America. I think I said worker before, it's with family income. It's enough to hire a million people for a year because they could get that money. They didn't care so much about what they were doing. Just like the oil companies, they don't care so much about some people are getting some cancer. So Madison, Wisconsin comes along and says, you know, we're going to put a plan in place to help out. We're going to plant greenery that's going to absorb carbon dioxide. We're going to prepare for a time when, you know, there might be an oil supply disruption. We're now far more dependent on oil than we were in the 70s. You know, when Louise and I lived in Detroit, we saw all hell break loose, literally. I mean, people were getting shot at gas stations. There was a shooting at a gas station just a mile from our house, because you could only go odd or even, and people were cutting in lines, and these lines sometimes lasted 3 hours. Madison is getting ready. God bless him.
You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program. Call 866-303-2270.
Yeehaw is not a foreign policy. Tom Hartman. nationwide, weekdays 9 to noon, AM 620 KPOJ. Now more of Tom Hartman nationwide on Portland's progressive talk station, AM 620 KPOJ.
Let me tell you, son, I think there's damage done. We've got the men and the women and the dying with the children for a presidential ribbon. They don't understand. I think it's time for change.
And that change is happening. It's happening at Citibank. Well, they're going to dump their $50 million jet. I'm telling you, this is, yeah, they just got caught with their hand in the cookie jar. This is just the smallest piece of the whole thing. You've got still an obscene and absurd executive compensation going on there. You've got banks that are too large to fail. If a corporation, if a bank is too large to fail, it's too large to exist. There's just no way around it. If it's too large to fail, it's too large to exist. That has to become a mantra in the United States. We have to just get it and figure it out. Ann in East Sound, Washington. Hey, Ann, what's up?
Hello, Ann. Hi. Thank you for taking my call. Mm-hmm. I'm calling because the caller earlier that was in dire straits regarding the reconstruction of the mortgage.
Right,
and
Citibank.
Yes, ours is countrywide. We've been self-employed for 35 years. Last 8 years, business has been down. 2007, savings was gone, and so we thought we'd list our house for sale to sell. Well, it didn't happen, so then we heard that Countrywide was offering to reconstruct your mortgage. We have $200,000 equity. And so we have applied for that, and they said, oh, you can't have your house for sale if you're in that program. So we took our house off the market. We applied and were told in August 2008 we were approved and paperwork was coming any day. We've called every 2 weeks inquiring about the paperwork. And then Bank America took over Countrywide. And so we thought that was why the delay was happening. Well, last week we were informed that we would have to reapply. So here we are. We lost 6 months of possible attempting to sell our house.
Yeah.
And does anybody have any idea who we call?
Yeah.
For, you know, would have been okay if they said, okay, you're not approved in August, and we would have proceeded to attempt to sell our house. But now we're stuck in winter with even a worse economy and a house that we haven't been able to sell, and they want us to reapply.
Okay. And in just a moment, Alan Jablonski has been a guest on our program a number of times. He's an attorney who deals with these kind of things. And Sean is tracking his information down. As soon as she gets that information, I'll open her mic and she can share it with you and everybody else. Thanks for the call. And so just, you know, keep listening to the show. Tough one. Tom in Oceanside. Hey, Tom.
Hey, how you doing, Tom?
Just great. And thanks for listening on K-Talk. What's up?
Well, the economy out here is pretty bad, and effort for a municipal government here.
Mm-hmm.
And I know Obama's first plan for health care is probably for kids.
Mm-hmm.
Is there any chance or does it make sense to add government workers to that plan?
Yeah. I mean, I think it makes sense to add everybody to that plan.
right, but they're not going to do that right away.
Well, they're not,
and,
unfortunately.
Right now
yeah, they've got they would have the political fallout. I mean, it would be the battle of their lifetimes. But the strongest, the best, most effective, and most powerful financial stimulus that they could do right now is say, okay, we are going to raise taxes by this much, and we are going to insure everybody in the United States by that much, and effectively put all the health insurance companies out of business, which would immediately reduce the cost of health care in this country by 25% to 30%, and then add
which
on that.
Which is it?
And, pardon?
That's the admin cost.
Well,
welfare, they spend like 2% on admin, and all these private health cares with their advertising and admin, it's like 30% of their income.
That's right, and it's not just admin. It's 10-12% dividends to shareholders. It's, you know, literally $1 billion salary to Dollar Bill McGuire, the head of United Healthcare, the former CEO, and those kind of things. Yeah, Tom, and you know, I think that that's the number one thing that they should do, but I doubt they lack the political will to do it. Sean, you found Alan's intro?
Yes, I do. The best thing to do is go to his website, which is ajconsumerwatch.com, and it's got a lot of useful information there along with his contact info and email address.
Great. AJ, as in Alan Jablonski, consumerwatch.com. Okay, good. And good luck to you, and thank you. Thank you for that, Sean. Anthony in Seattle. Hey, Anthony, what's up?
Yeah, I just wanted to let you know, in the previous hour you were talking about the worker retraining and how it was basically either lip service or a scam. As a financial aid officer for a private college here in Seattle, I can tell you that it is almost a scam. It basically, they give you enough to cover about 10% to 25% of tuition for a degree, and basically the colleges try to steer you into a diploma, which is like a 1 month or 2 month certificate, basically, and it covers about maybe 50 to 80% of that.
Right. It puts you more in debt. It's a small sop to a growing kind of secondary educational market.
But basically, when they see worker retraining, they're not talking about you're going to get a new degree. You're going to get a diploma or some kind of certificate to go learn how to bake bread or, you know, work on a car or something. You know, it basically doesn't cure the people that are losing their jobs that just got laid off here in Seattle. 5,000 Microsoft employees are, and Microsoft is continuing to employ their H-1B visa employees.
Yep.
That is a scam. That needs to stop.
Yeah. And Microsoft is not the only one, by the way. This is not about one company. It's about an entire industry. It's about an entire nation. And Anthony, well said, and much appreciated. Cher in Washington. Hey, Cher.
Hi, Tom. Thanks a lot for taking my call.
Mm-hmm.
I just kind of wanted to make a couple comments about the foreclosures. I'm a real estate agent in Washington State. I just think what's happening with the foreclosures is just despicable. And I think it's way worse than what they're letting on that it is. I don't understand why we cannot force these banks that we've just bailed out. I mean, they have somebody, for example, that owes $300,000. They'll put them into foreclosure, then they'll turn around and sell the house to someone else for $200,000 or less.
Right.
It's like, why are they not being made to renegotiate these loans? And if you renegotiated loans, even if you did it across the board for everyone, say if everyone whose combined income was less than $500,000, you renegotiated their loan for 30 years at 3% interest, most of these people could stay in their homes and they would have more disposable income.
Sure. Here's one.
In
answer to your question, which I assume was rhetorical, but let me deal with it as if it was an actual question. Why are they not renegotiating these loans? I may be wrong on this, because I'm not an expert on the ins and outs of the subtleties of tax law as it applies to banking corporations.
Sure.
But I do know that corporations in general can reduce their tax liability by having actual losses. So if a bank, and so this is my theory, this is my guess, and perhaps somebody who really knows the banking industry will call and, you know, let us know or post something on our blog or send me an email about it. I have, by the way, I didn't just pull this out of my head. I've read this a number of places before, so I think that there's something to this. If a bank forces a person into foreclosure, they can basically write off the entire amount of the loan from their books as a cost and reduce their tax liability by that amount. And then they sell that house and they put the money back in and they have some kind of an income stream, and that's a positive thing. If, on the other hand, they renegotiate it, it falls into a very different kind of tax category, and they don't get the tax benefit. If that's the case, if that scenario that I described is the case, and it may not be, I believe it is, but it may not be. If that's the case, that's something that should have a fairly easy legislative remedy. You simply change the tax code.
Yes.
So that's something that we really need to be looking at. But I think, Shara, that you've identified a really important one, and that is, you know, what are the ways that we can not just force the banks to renegotiate these things, and you know, my brother Stan's suggestion about let's just get rid of using a foreclosure as something that can affect your credit score, for example. Not just that, but also, how can we incentivize them? How can we change our tax code so that it's to their benefit to renegotiate these things? Bernice in Dearborn, Michigan, listening on WDTW. Hey, Bernice.
Hi, Tom.
Hi.
How worrisome is it to you that our two most astute progressive senators, Bernie Sanders and Russ Feingold, voted not to confirm the new Secretary of the Treasury?
Yeah, Timothy Geithner. It gives me pause. I suspect, because Bernie and Russ Feingold, Senator Feingold, did not make a campaign out of this, that this was more a statement of principle, you know, that this guy is mediocre in the view of progressives, and he's been historically part of the problem, and, you know, we'll hope that he'll become part of the solution, but we're not going to give him our stamp of approval. But, you know, we'll find out on Friday when Bernie comes on the show. We'll just ask him.
Oh,
and,
great.
And, you know, we'll get the straight-up answer. Bernie doesn't BS much. You know, he just tells you what he's thinking, and there's no way around that. But I said somebody yesterday called and said, what do you think about Tim Geithner? You know, this guy has a very checkered past, shall we say, with regard to, and I'm not talking about the stuff the Republicans were talking about it. You know, when he was with the World Bank, he didn't do his income tax withholding. Just, you know, some of his associations. And, you know, you can do the same thing with Tom Vilsack in agriculture. You know, there are a lot of these guys who have in the past, maybe just to make a living, maybe because, you know, it comported with their ideology. I don't know. But have had associations or actions that are not really all that progressive. Hopefully Obama can push them in more, or we can push them in a more progressive direction.
Visit HartmanRadio.com for live streaming video of the Tom Hartman Program.
What would Hartman do? Tom Hartman, nationwide, weekdays 9 to noon, AM 620 KBOJ, Portland's only progressive talk station.
The hardest part of any home improvement project is finding a good quality contractor, somebody who's going to do the job right, complete it on time and within budget, and not going to hassle you. So who do you call? Who do you trust when you need a plumber, a painter, an electrician? I'll tell you who to call. Like me, call Angie's List. Before we signed up for Angie's List, we had a disaster contractor install a kitchen counter. We used Angie's List to find a handyman to show up and fix everything. They really came through for us. More than 650,000 homeowners nationwide use Angie's List for ratings and reviews on more than 300 service categories, even doctors. It's a word-of-mouth network for consumers. Angie's List is a growing collection of homeowners' real-life experiences with local service companies. Now the people who join Angie's List, they're like you. They're looking for a way to find trustworthy companies that perform high-quality work. To join Angie's List, go to AngiesList.com and eliminate the fear of hiring the wrong company. I joined Angie's List, and you should too today at AngiesList.com. 1-888-888-LIST. 888-888-LIST.
Ed Schultz.
So there's going to have to be some more discussion about this. Which is healthy? Which is positive?
Noon to 3.
And I think that we as lefties have got to make sure we know how to embrace all this stuff.
He calls them the way he sees them.
Just because Pelosi and Obama may disagree on the timing of the repealing of the Bush tax cuts doesn't mean that it's nuclear war.
The Ed Schultz Show.
There's going to be more than enough stuff to talk about.
Noon to 3. AM 620 KPOJ.
Online at 620KPOJ.com.
Here's what's happening at AM 620 KPOJ.
Don't miss the 2009 Portland International Auto Show, February 5th through 8th at the Oregon Convention Center. The 2009 edition of the Auto Show features 33 different manufacturers, includes everything from luxury cars and convertibles to sports cars, hybrids, and economy cars. Check out the all-new 2009 models and get a sneak peek of selected 2010 intros and concept cars. Plus, you can enter to win a new vehicle, courtesy of the Oregonian, OregonLive.com, and the Metro Portland New Car Dealers Association. For more information, visit AM620KPOJ, keyword auto. Join AM620KPOJ at Ray Reese Hyundai, located at 1235 East Burnside Street in Portland, Saturday from noon to 2 p.m. Stop by the KPOJ booth and enter to win a brand new Nintendo Wii, courtesy of the Metro Portland New Car Dealers Association. And be one of the first five people to test drive a car, get a pair of tickets to the 2009 Portland International Auto Show.
And that's what's happening at AM620KPOJ, Portland's progressive talk station.
In business, it's important to take a new perspective, like from an 8,000-foot mountain peak, or maybe from a gently rocking fishing boat. You see, at the Port of Calama, business and life come together. The Port of Calama offers a beautiful, affordable lifestyle with urban amenities without city hassle, all in a thriving business environment. The Port of Calama has space for your business, plus big tax exemptions and financial incentives. How big? See for yourself. Port of Calama, where business lives. Visit portofcalama.com.
Follow a single pearl necklace as it passes from one owner to the next over the span of 35 years, weaving a deeply affecting story of love, loss, and laughter. The play was hailed by the New York Times as a highly satisfying, hilarious blend of sex, satire, poignancy, and absurdism. Featuring four actresses playing 27 different roles, String of Pearls by Michelle Rowe runs at Artist Repertory Theater January 27th through March 8th. For tickets, call 503-241-1278 or visit artistrep.org.
What if there were a way to guarantee your money from taking a loss in this volatile economy? Hi, I'm Blake Kingsley of Oregon Equity Management. Fact, my clients haven't lost a dime in this market because their money is protected by state and federal regulations. Folks, if you want to stop the bleeding, call me today to learn how you too can protect your money, guaranteed. Blake Kingsley, 503-686-8423. That's 686-8423 today.
Now back to Tom Hartman Nationwide on Portland's progressive talk station, AM 620 KPOJ.
Tommy, can you hear me? Can you feel me near you? Tommy, can you see me? Can I help to cheer you? Ooh, Tommy, Tommy.
Yeah, I guess. 9.5 minutes before the hour. Welcome back. Well, time now for our episode of The Liberal Shadow. Yes, the Liberal Shadow here with you, and our evil lurking in the hearts of men story for the day, the evil lurking in the heart of Karl Rove. Governor Don Siegelman is on the line with us, the former governor of Alabama, former Democratic governor of Alabama. That appears to have been his crime as Karl Rove went after him. Governor Siegelman, welcome back to the show.
Hey, thank you so much, Tom. Glad to be here. And it's good to wake up every morning knowing that George W. Bush is no longer president. That's
yeah.
All right.
Oh, man.
I wake up with a smile on my face every day. You know, we've got a capable man as president.
Yep.
We've got an African American as president. And a third blessing, George W. is back in Texas.
There you go. And
hallelujah.
And the fourth blessing is that John Conyers yesterday issued a subpoena for Karl Rove, in part to find out what happened with Karl Rove, or what was the extent of Karl Rove's involvement with politicizing the Justice Department to pursue bogus charges against you to get you out of the way of Democratic politics in Alabama. And I'm curious, and by the way, let me, to all our listeners, I know you're too much of a gentleman to say this, but you've got some substantial legal bills, and you also send out a newsletter on a fairly regular basis, just keeping people up to date on what's going on. Let me encourage people to get over to your website, Don Siegelman. Is it it's .com or .org, isn't it?
Yes, .org works.
Yeah, Don Siegelman.
DonSiegelman.org.
DonSiegelman.org, and it's I before E, except after C as they taught us in school, right? So Don Siegelman, SIEGELMAN.org. Get over there to that website. So what do you think? Do you think that it's possible that this subpoena will be enforced this time?
I think so, and I know I'm going out on a limb here, but I spoke John Conyers a couple of times during the Democratic National Convention, and I am absolutely convinced that he is 100% committed to seeing this thing through. And we've had a change of leadership in Washington, and I think it's in part it's freed up some Democrats. It's given some other Democrats a little more oomph, and I think they're.
Isn't the critical thing? Isn't the critical thing though going to be whether Eric Holder at the Justice Department, since they're the ones who will have to enforce a subpoena, unless Congress decides to do it through the Capitol Police, which is unlikely, that Eric Holder will pursue this?
Well, I believe that yes, I think it is important. I think that if Congress pursues this, I think that the next Attorney General, and I'm assuming that it will be Eric Holder, that he will also I don't think he will fight Congress over this issue. I think if Congress takes the lead, then I think this Department of Justice will allow that subpoena to be served and will order Karl Rove to come and testify. And, you know, one way or the other, Rove is going to be before that committee, and he's going to either have to lie or tell the truth or plead the fifth. And I think that takes us an important step down the road. But until that happens, we're lacking. So I want to both congratulate and encourage John Conyers, and I want to encourage Nancy Pelosi, who recently said that we cannot let the politicizing of the Department of Justice go unreviewed. I want to see the truth come forth. So
our listeners,
Nancy Pelosi's getting stronger.
So our listeners can call. They can go to callcongress.org and get the toll-free numbers for the House of Rep for Congress, and they could ask for Speaker Pelosi's office or for John Conyers' office and say, please pursue the Siegelman case when you have Rove before you. I heard that, and you can go to donsiegelman.org for more information as well. I heard very quickly, Governor, we're just about out of time here, that it was at Karl Rove's personal request that the senator from Pennsylvania, Mr. Spector, put a one-week hold on the proceedings for Mr. Holder. Do you think that might have anything to do with your case?
Well, I think it may have something to do with my case, but it probably has something to do with a much bigger issue, and that is the extent to which Karl Rove was involved in other nefarious activities within the Department of Justice and within the White House. You noticed that Mr. Luskin, Rove's attorney, said that he was only following Bush's order and never asserted a personal claim of executive privilege. Well, I wonder what other orders Mr. Rove might claim that he was following if he's brought before the committee to testify.
Yeah, this could get very interesting, and it could go all the way to the top, or to the former top. In the minute we have left, we're talking with Governor Don Siegelman, former governor of Alabama, donsiegelman.org, his website. Please get over there, check it out, get on his mailing list. What can our listeners do to encourage forward activity in this?
Well, I think the most important thing that I would ask your listeners to do is to do what you suggested. That is, pick up the phone and call Congress, call John Conyers, tell him thank you for subpoenaing Karl Rove, but to stay after it until we get to the truth. Right. Call Nancy Pelosi's office. You can thank her for her recent statement that she did not think that the politicizing of justice should go unreviewed and that she wanted the truth to come forth. Tell her to support John Conyers in his efforts to get Karl Rove before that committee.
Yep, and when you call, be nice, be respectful, be positive, be thankful. You know, let's put this in a thank you context.
We'll
catch more flies with honey here than with vinegar, and get that thing out there. And of course, let me add, also go over to Don Siegelman's website, Don Siegelman, SIEGELMAN.org. Get over to Don Siegelman's website and check out what's going on there and get on his mailing list so that you can get kept up to date on this whole process that we have been pursuing on this show from virtually the beginning. Governor, thank you so much for being with us today.
It's my pleasure, Tom. Thank you.
It's always great talking with you. Coming up next, Ronnie Deutsch. Get your tax questions ready.
You're listening to Tom Hartman.
Thanks for listening to the AM 620 KPOJ podcast, sponsored by the Better World Club.
providing travel services, auto insurance, and 24/7 nationwide roadside assistance, but not part of the highway lobby. This is Tom Hartman, Better World Club member since first moving to Oregon. Check out their eco benefits like the nation's only bicycle roadside assistance and their e-newsletter, Kicking Asphalt, at betterworldclub.com.
Welcome to AM 620 KPOJ. Now Tom Hartman, nationwide, 9 to noon, AM 620 KPOJ and 620KPOJ.com.
You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
Well, it's the beginning of the year. It is the time that many folks are starting to organize their taxes. April 15th is coming upon us. Today, of course, January 27th. And Ronnie Deutsch is with us, the tax attorney, tax expert, founder of the Ronnie Deutsch Tax Center, RDTC.com, that website. And, of course, her little more personal website, Ronnie Deutsch, RONIDeutsch.com. Ronnie, welcome to the show. Welcome back to the show.
Good morning, Tom. Thank you for having me.
Always great having you on, Ronnie. I got a bunch of questions for you, and then I'd like to throw it open to my listeners if they have tax questions for you, if that's all right with you.
The great news is I'm sure they're going to have a lot of questions today.
I suspect so. Our phone number, 866-303-2270. First of all, the questions that I have, we've kind of compiled and pulled together from emails and whatnot that we've gotten. Number one, the most common question that seems to get passed along to me, particularly after we get off the air with you, is what should people do if they don't have enough money to pay their taxes? They know that they owe taxes, what do they do? What do they do? So I know some people just like don't file. Now that's the absolute wrong thing to do. What do you do if can't afford to pay your taxes?
Let's talk about that reality. Right now, 45 million good people in the United States of America cannot afford to pay the IRS any taxes. So first issue we've got to address. I know it's much easier to dig a hole in the sand, bury our head in it. We must at least file a tax return. I don't care if you cannot afford to pay the liability. The IRS has got to receive a tax return in a timely manner or file for an extension. Here's why. They're going to add a ton of money to what you owe without a tax return. Number two, they'll prepare the return for you, and you will get no deductions, no credits, nothing. So we step back to the big question. What in the world do I do if I'm one of the 45 million people who owe? Great news. I have great news to share. The IRS has outstanding programs available to help everybody in America who owes the IRS. I don't know if you've noticed lately, but there's been a lot of talk, a lot of articles about how the IRS will be kinder and gentler. Hey, I don't buy the kinder and gentler part. What I do buy is the tax laws and codes that help you. Let's start with them. We've got installment agreements. I know you're stepping back and saying, but Ron, what if I don't have the money to enter into a monthly payment plan with the IRS? If you do have the money to do a monthly payment plan, I say let's throw them $20 a month, $50 a month, $100 a month to keep the big bad wolf in the closet. But if you don't even have enough money to do a monthly payment plan with them, there is something called CNC. Very important for people to know. Currently not collectible. And that is what it means. It means I cannot get one penny from you, even if you owe me $1,000, $2,000, $5,000, $20,000. You do not have a job. You're currently unemployed, like many good people. You've walked away from your house. You've walked away from asset. So there's no asset value. They're not going to make you sell your retirement accounts, cash those bad boys in, and be stuck with 60, 70% loss on that. The IRS will work with you, and it's critical for people to know. Last important golden nugget, it's called the Offer in Compromise Program. I've been doing it for 18 years, Tom. It is one of the greatest negotiating tools available. It basically means this. I owe you $50,000, $40,000, $30,000 IRS, but if you take a good look at me, I can't pay you that amount. Let's negotiate. I'll give you $1,000. I'll give you $500, and the matter goes away. Three great tools. We have an installment agreement. We have a currently not collectible where they leave you alone, put you on a dead shelf, and they'll revisit you in a year or two, or, of course, the offer and compromise program, which is my favorite, because you negotiate the debt in full and you're done.
Right. Are any of the three or all three of these, Ronnie, programs that somebody can or should undertake by themselves, or are they the kind of things where, and I, you know, again, I don't want to turn this into an infomercial for the Ronnie Deutsch Tax Center. There's also a lot of other good tax preparers around the country, as well as a few scam artists out there. But broadly speaking, should, and I realize you have some self-interest in answering the question, but is this the kind of thing that people should go to a professional for, or is this the kind of thing that people can navigate themselves generally?
Yeah, I think you've got to step back and look at the level of sophistication of the particular taxpayer who's getting screwed here and owes the money. If they are a sophisticated person, I truly believe they can read the laws, fill out the forms, call the IRS, engage them, and start the negotiation process. Of course, I am one of many solutions as a lawyer. That's what I do. I represent people who owe the IRS. That's what RonnieDeutsch.com does. But again, it's really up to you. If you only owe, it's all relative, right? You $800, $1,200, $2,000. Pick up that phone right now and start talking to the IRS and be human with them. If you've got to cry, cry. Get them the documents that they need. I do not believe you've got to hire a tax attorney for low dollar amounts. But let me tell you some news. If you owe over $15,000 or you do have a high tax liability, it is much more complex, comprehensive, a lot more hoops to jump through, so to speak. I would then consider hiring someone at that time.
Okay. If somebody was unemployed for all or part of last year, how does that affect their taxes?
Yeah, you know what? You and I can respectfully agree and disagree on tax policies, but this is one. For goodness sakes, let's leave unemployed people alone. Unfortunately, unemployment compensation, severance packages, severance payments, payoff accumulated for sick, vacation, all of it is taxable income on your federal return.
Right, which is crazy.
You will receive a 1099-G from the IRS showing the amount of money you received from the government, and I'm so sorry to say that you've got to pay taxes on that amount.
Right. If you lost your house, what can you do to recoup some of those losses on your taxes? There's a lot of people who have lost their homes to defaults and things like that.
You know what? Let's talk about some good news. Thank God the laws have changed. Did you know that if you walked from your home in the past, the IRS actually sent you a 1099-C and you had to pay taxes on the cancellation of debt? That was before. Let's talk about now. The Mortgage Debt Relief Act of 2007 allows taxpayers to exclude from income any of the discharge of debt that they had on their principal residence. We're talking up to $2 million if you're married, $1 million if you're single. So again, good news. If you walk from the home, you are not going to have to pay taxes for the debt that was discharged. But let me throw an important carrot. Many people are also walking from credit card debt and from automobiles. I beg all of you listening to negotiate with the credit card holder, negotiate with the car lien holder, and make sure that when you walk, they do not send you a 1099-C, which would again be the cancellation of debt portion. For example, you walk away from $10,000 in credit card debt, you're going to get a tax bill from the IRS if that person sends you a 1099-C.
Right. So is there any way to get the credit card company not to do the 1099-C and call that income, or is that simply the law?
Yes, of course. That's why I'm saying if you are educated and armed with this knowledge, they won't send you the 1099-C. All you have to do is ask.
Really?
Mr. Credit Card Company, do not send me a 1099-C. I want this to be included in the part of the negotiation for me walking from this.
So why would the credit card company do that? Because then they're going to have to absorb some tax liability, aren't they?
No. Here's why, Tom. It's an important distinction. I'm a negotiator and I owe 10 grand in credit card debt. If I'm willing to give you $4,000, $3,000, $2,000, some form of money, you should be able to waive the 1099-C and they will not include it. But if you outright walk and you don't pay them any money at all, the chances are very, very good that you will get a 1099-C. So by paying a little bit of bones and a little bit of skin to the credit card person, company, you could save significant tax dollars in the end.
All right. Very good. Very good. We're talking with Ronnie Deutsch, the tax attorney and tax expert, founder of the Ronnie Deutsch Tax Center, RDTC.com, the website, and RonnieDeutsch.com. We're going to take a break right now. We'll come back and take your calls on the other side of this break at 16 minutes past the hour. 866-303-2270. Your call specifically for Ronnie. Let's not get into politics and policy on this. This is if you have a specific, what do I do in my situation, or what should a person do in an abstract situation with regard to taxes and tax law. We'll be picking up your calls right after that. Stick around. Tom Hartman here with you on Air America Radio, and Ronnie Deutsch, our guest.
This is the Tom Hartman Program.
Annoying Republicans by defending the Constitution. Tom Hartman, nationwide, weekdays 9 to noon, AM 620 KPOJ.
I'm Todd Davis, CEO of LifeLock, and what I'm about to tell you is true. My real Social Security number is 457-55-5462. You may think I'm crazy, but I know my identity is safe. At LifeLock, every member is covered by our $1 million total service guarantee.
Every 3 seconds, someone's identity is stolen. It's not just the money that's being stolen. It's your reputation, your credits, and your valuable time to fix the huge mess. At LifeLock, we aim to prevent identity theft before it happens, and if anything happens while you're a client of LifeLock, you'll be protected by our exclusive $1 million total service guarantee. With LifeLock, you'll also see a huge reduction in junk mail and pre-approved credit offers. Call 1-800-643-1385 right now and get 30 days of LifeLock for free. Protect yourself and your family from identity theft. And when you call right now, get 30 days free. Call now, 1-800-643-1385. That's 1-800-643-1385. Again, 1-800-643-1385.
She's loud, she's proud, and she definitely draws a crowd.
We cannot let the American porn industry go down.
Randy Rhoads.
So why is the porn industry asking for a bailout? I know that I've given the porn industry at least $5 billion myself. So there's no need for the bailout, Larry.
The Randy Rhoads Show.
If you cannot make money by producing pornography in this country,
3 to 6,
you are pretty much freaking hopeless.
On AM 620 KPOJ
and 620KPOJ.com.
I'm Tom Dwyer, 230-2300. I thought that Oregon got all its electricity from hydroelectric. Well, about 60% of our electricity is hydro, but the rest comes from dirty coal plants like those in nearby Boardman and Centralia. The Boardman plant, 150 miles east of Portland, generates 20% of PGE's power. It's the largest stationary source of greenhouse gases in Oregon, contributing to acid rain in the Gorge and on Mount Hood, and impacting us from Hell's Canyon to Mount Rainier. Please help me support the Bonneville Environmental Foundation in funding green power here and now with the Tom Dwyer Automotive Services Carbon Neutral Program. Use the link at tomdwyer.com, enter the promo code KPOJ, get a 50% discount, and join. Your car will be carbon neutral, you'll receive 10% off labor, and other offers that will save you over $350. If you're a current client or wanted to try us, then please check this out. I'm counting on you to help build the wind and solar power we need in Oregon today. I don't want to burn coal to power my house or my next car. Keeping our vehicles operating at their best. Tom Dwyer Automotive Services, 230-2300. And please visit TomDwyer.com.
Want to know something cool about Geico and renter's insurance?
Do I?
Okay, well, let's say you buy some presents, but they get stolen.
Oh, mercy me.
Let me finish. Well, Geico can help with that, even if they're stolen from your car or right out of your hand.
My word.
Not done yet. And coverage is as little as $12 a month.
Mwah!
You just kissed me.
I get excited.
Yeah, maybe a little.
For a fast, easy rate quote on renter's insurance, visit Geico.com or call 1-800-947-AUTO.
Ma'am, I need you to slow down and tell me exactly what you saw.
Okay, officer. Well, he had these crazy, huge eyes, and they just stared at me.
Uh-huh. About how tall?
About 3 inches high, 6 inches wide. I think he was made of money, and he just stared.
Ma'am, that was the money you could be saving with Geico.
No, it wasn't.
Did you hear this music when you saw him?
Yes!
Have a good day, ma'am.
GEICO. To get a free rate quote, go to geico.com. Then buy online, over the phone, or at your local office.
How much could you be saving on car insurance? $300, $400, $500? There's a real easy way to find out. Just go to geico.com or call 1-800-947-AUTO.
Beaverton Lodge Retirement Residence offers independent senior living in the heart of Beaverton within walking distance of the Beaverton Library and the Stuhr Senior Center. Visit and discover the affordable luxury of Beaverton Lodge with its spacious apartments, large decks, and in-room storage, all in a woodland setting. Visit their website at beavertonlodge.com.
Now more of Tom Hartman nationwide on Portland's progressive talk station, AM 620 KPOJ.
Minutes past the hour. Welcome back to the Tom Hartman program. Ronnie Deutsch with us, the tax attorney, expert, and founder of the Ronnie Deutsch Tax Center, RDTC.com. And Ronnie, we got a whole bunch of callers here from all over the country. Before we get to them, though, just one other question that again, is, you know, I get a lot of emails on these things and folks in the chat room and whatnot. It seems that with a lot of the downsizing that's going on in companies, layoffs or whatever you want to call it, they're trying to call it right-sizing now. What's actually happening is that a group of, for example, three or four people in a marketing department, just to take a hypothetical, who all could get their work done in a 40-hour week or a 45-hour week before, are now two people in that marketing department, and they're having to work 50, 60, 70 hours a week for the exact same pay. And in order to do that, they're taking their computers home or they're working from a home office. But they don't officially, the company doesn't acknowledge this. The company is essentially forcing this to happen, but it's all, you know, none of it's atop the table. It's all below the table. And so in order to do the work, people are having to work from home extra hours, but they don't officially have a relationship with their employer that defines a home office or requires one. Is there any way to take that home office, that de facto home office, and claim it?
Yeah, I love your point as to how it relates to today's, you know, realities. Yes. Let's go to the great news. Yes, we absolutely can claim a portion of our home, our condo, our apartment. Doesn't matter if we own it or if we're renting it. We can use that as a business expense if you and I can prove two things, and they're simple to prove: regular and exclusive use of that home. So let's be specific. You've got an office inside of your home. It must be used for office purposes. The kids can't have their TV and video games in there, and you can't have a gym in there, but you've got to use that room exclusively for an office.
Now, does it have to be a room? Could it simply be, you know, 30 square feet of corner space in the living room where you have a desk and a computer?
No, that's a problem, because now it's not exclusive, Tom, and we've crossed that exclusive boundary.
So you have to have walls and a door.
Exactly. It's got to be exclusive. When you and I are in the kitchen, I know that we're eating, but I also have my computers in there and I'm working. It doesn't count. I'm talking, make sure that room is exclusive. I don't care how small it is.
Right.
And regular use. So you and I know it's got to be used a couple days a week, a couple hours a night. Yes, too many people are not taking advantage of the home office tax deduction that is available.
Okay, great. Thank you very much for that, Ronnie. Now let's pick up some of our phone calls here. Karen in Miami, listening on WINS. Karen, you're on with Ronnie Deutsch.
Hi, Ronnie. I know you mentioned earlier that if you walk away from your primary home, you can get that tax relief. What if it's an investment property or an investment home that you're trying to walk away from? Do you get that same type of relief?
First of all, Karen, I love Miami Beach. You've got great food down there. Let me tell you the bummer news about this new law.
Thank you, Karen.
You know that the Mortgage Debt Relief Act of 07 wants people that walked from their home to not get screwed and have to pay taxes on the debt that were forgiven. Unfortunately, Karen, that law has not been extended to investment property. And I'm not sure if this administration will extend it to include investment property. So today I say to you, Karen, you do not have the same tax privileges as people do who, again, are being displaced from their home.
Okay. David in Salem, Oregon. David, you're on the air with Ronnie Deutsch.
Hello?
David, you're on the air.
Yeah, this is a question for Ronnie. I have a five-year problem with the IRS where I had my tax preparer, and I'm disabled, but yet the IRS keeps sending bills. Like they even took my $600 rebate, and now they want me to keep sending whatever is left. And I just got a letter yesterday saying that if I don't pay the rest, they're going to send me to collection action or something like that. You know, so what should I do?
Yes, David, unfortunately, you are not alone. There are 45 million people who owe the IRS, and the sad reality about the IRS, David, is they want their money. So they are going to continue to send you these harassing notices, these harassing letters, until you talk to them and work something out. A, the fact that you are disabled, you will qualify for so many tax programs. The currently not collectible program, the offer and compromise program. I feel certain, David, again, I'm not, like you said, Tom, this is not an infomercial, but if you went to my website, we would contact you, David. Anyone out there can help you with this matter, because it does not sound like you have the ability to pay the IRS back. So, yes, you would qualify for an outstanding opportunity where all of your tax debt could be washed away. So I encourage you to get some help.
Right. Get in touch with a good tax attorney. We're talking with Ronnie Deutsch, the tax attorney and expert. RDTC.com is our website. And just one very, very quick question. What about green energy tax credits? We just have about 15 seconds here before the break.
Yeah, you know what's great about Obama is he loves green. I am all for people buying hybrid vehicles because, guys, there is $200 to $7,500 on the table in tax incentives if you go green, whether it's a Chevy, a Ford, a GMC. There are so many cars. Also, there's other green ways. There's new roofs. There's solar panels. There are so many energy-efficient appliances.
We'll pick it up on the other side of the break here, Ronnie. Thank you very much. Hang on.
You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program. Call 866-303-2270.
Jesus, a community organizer? Tom Hartman, nationwide. Weekdays 9 to noon, AM 620 KPOJ. Now back to Tom Hartman nationwide on Portland's progressive talk station, AM 620 KPOJ.
Transforming the world by revitalizing democracy. It's the Tom Hartman Radio Program, 35 minutes past the hour. Ronnie Deutsch with us answering your questions about your taxes as we head toward April 15th. Her website, RDTC, the Ronnie Deutsch Tax Center, RDTC.com, and, of course, RonnieDeutsch.com. And Ronnie, Jim in Louisville, Colorado, has a question for you. Hey, Jim, you're on the air.
Hi. Ronnie, in 2007, I had no income. So I did not file an income tax return, and now a friend of mine is telling me that I should have done that and I could be in trouble.
Well, again, Jim, first of all, you're saying you made absolutely no income. We're talking $0 came in. There wasn't any investment income from banks, anything like that.
I did have a few stock dividends, about $300 or $400. But,
okay, so I think, Jim, it's better to err on the side of filing that return in 2007. Certainly there are certain guidelines that the IRS has on whether or not you should or should not file.
Those banks would have filed 1099s, right?
Exactly. He would have received something from various banks. So I just think, Jim, because the IRS will receive documentation on you from every financial institution that you deal with, I always err on the side of filing that return.
Yeah, okay, good.
Okay, will I get penalized for not doing that?
No, here's the good news. Unless you owe the IRS money, you will not get penalized. They only add interest and penalties when, A, you do not file a tax return on time, and, B, you owed them money.
Okay, Jim, thanks a lot for the call. Asia in Portland, Oregon. Hey, Asia.
Hi, Ronnie, I have a question. I'm not married with my significant other, and I have two kids that are not his kids. I'm not going to claim them. Can he claim them?
Okay, this is a really important point. You're asking who is going to get the personal exemption for your children, and the IRS has very strict guidelines, and the guidelines are, you can probably imagine, Asia, who supports the children? Who is their primary caregiver? So you're saying you're not going to claim them. Will your ex-husband claim them? Will your ex-partner claim them? Someone is entitled to claim the credits that are associated to your children. And it is, of course, either yourself, it could be your ex, whoever the father is to the children, or it could also be the primary caregiver. So you've got to determine who is that person in your relationship. Is it you? Is it your significant other? Are you going to file a tax return? Are you going to file, you know, can you just tell me a little bit more facts about you and your significant other?
The kid's father is dead, so he won't be claiming them, and I don't file a return because I'm a student and we just get a survivor's benefit, and so. But my significant other is their primary caregiver. Both of us, me and him, are raising the kids. We live in the same house.
Okay, so again, I think the IRS is really just going to take a look at who qualifies for providing more than half of their support for the year. And if you're saying that your partner does, it sounds like your partner's able to qualify for those credits, yes.
Okay, good luck. Good luck on that, Asia.
Thanks.
Thanks a lot for the call. Donna in Rohnert Park, California. Hey, Donna.
Yeah, hi, both of you. My husband died of PTSD. He was 100% disabled, and then
sorry to hear that.
The next week or the next year, I had a stroke. That's why I can't talk. Have difficulty talking, but I'm on DIC and also Social Security. I can't work anymore, and I wanted to know. I filed for that rebate last year, and they sent me a thing from the like a pamphlet from the IRS, and I wondered if I have to pay, because it says
in other words, do you have to pay taxes on your Social Security income, your disability income? Is that the question, Donna?
Yeah.
Okay.
And first of all, I think it's important, Donna, for you to know that Tom, I mean, she's having, again, speaking issues from her stroke. Again, Donna, I'm so sorry for what you've endured. I'd be more than happy, Tom, to have someone call Donna and take a great deal of time to walk her through this. But generally, yes, you are going to have to pay taxes on the money that you are receiving from the government.
Right.
But again, Donna, it's something that I feel like we could talk in much greater detail to find out if there are any credits that you qualify for and any other types of deductions so that you will not have a tax liability.
Okay. Donna, good luck and get with somebody who knows what they're doing, which could
exactly.
be Ronnie or anybody else, yeah. Mohammed in Phoenix, you're on the air with Ronnie Deutsch, RDTC.com. Hey, Mohammed.
Thank you very much for taking my call. I had a quick question. We were three partners, Ronnie, back in 2000, and we walked out from a business. In the beginning, we owed some IRS tax. We paid some $4,000, but during this whole period of time, they accumulated to become like more than $15,000, $16,000, and I'm assuming more than that. My two other partners are not serious to pay those taxes, and I'm assuming to take that responsibility. Anyway, first of all, can I pay my part and clear my record? That's my first question. Second, if not, can I make some negotiation for all three of us, and I pay and clear that record?
Yeah, first of all, Mohammed, thank you for your call and your honesty. The IRS is going to go after each one of the partners to pay off the business liability, and I think you have a very good grip and you understand that. And I think it's very important to get all three partners involved in the negotiation process with the IRS. Again, they're going to want to look at you, all of your assets, all of your income. Same thing with all of your partners. So it's important for them to be involved in the negotiation so that you can get the best deal. Why should one partner be able to negotiate out, and now the other two of you are stuck with it. So I think, again, you also have a statute of limitations issue. You said, I think you said, forgive me if I'm mistaken, that maybe this debt occurred in 2000. Don't forget that the IRS only has 10 years from the date your taxes were assessed against you to collect. Otherwise, if they don't collect in that 10-year period of time, Mohammed, they're done. The debt is flushed down the toilet. They're not giving an entire lifetime to come after you. So make sure you're aware of the statute of limitations so you can stretch the negotiations on as much as you can. And that's an important tool in reducing your debt. If you say to the IRS, hey, you only have another year to come after me, they're going to accept a lot less money from you than if they had 6 years to go after you.
Makes sense, Mohammed?
Okay, but my two other partners, the two other partners are not willing, or they are not serious, or they are out of touch also, and that is my biggest dilemma.
Well, again, I think one of you is going to have to step up to the plate and assume ownership of this entire mess, or it's never going to go away unless the statute expires.
So basically, so Mohammed, for example, could go to the IRS and say, okay, my partners are not going to pay this. Can we negotiate it down to a third, because I'm a one-third partner, and I'll pay my third, and you guys will call it clear or
absolutely,
something like that?
Absolutely. Absolutely that can happen. But, Tom, you got to be realistic. They're going to want to look at the other partner's spreadsheet, so to speak. They're not just going to take your word on what the two people are like. They're going to want to see information on them.
Right. Mohammed,
well, very good, because I know that Tom understood my question, and that exactly my question was, if I want to proceed for myself, and so there is a chance for me to get that thing clear.
Yeah.
Okay. Yes, you need to proceed on your own, but just know that they're going to be very curious about the other partners.
Yeah, get a professional involved, Mohammed. Good luck. Thanks a lot for the call. Bob in Sherman Oaks, California, listening on K-Talk. You're on with Ronnie Deutsch.
Hi, guys. How are you?
Great.
I've been in the business for many, many years, and the last few years have been fairly lean years. And then just recently, one of my older scripts or screenplays sold for $250,000. And now the recession seems to be hitting the movie business just as hard as everybody else. A lot of studios are cutting down. Production is cutting down. And I know I'm going to be hit with a very significant tax, hit, maybe in the neighborhood of $60,000-$70,000. And I'm thinking about maybe after listening to you, trying to string out, hold on to the money as long as possible. Is it a wise or foolish thing for me to try and do either installment plan or offer and compromise, or is that wrong in my situation?
Well, I'll tell you something, Bob. Just like every other industry, no one is immune from this recession, and the IRS, unfortunately, they will come after you. They want their $60,000 to $70,000, whatever it is that you're going to owe. But the great news, I come back to that silver lining with this awful mess we're in. Yes, you can negotiate, and you can reduce your $60,000 to $70,000 liability down to $1,000, $2,000. Here's what they're going to want to know about you, Bob. What are you worth as an individual? How much do you have in assets? Everybody's asset value has decreased significantly, which means they cannot come after you and get a lot of money. They want to know two things. What are you worth as an individual, and how much money do you make every month? It's very simple math, and it's one with scientific formulas behind it. So, yes, you must pursue an offer and compromise with the IRS so you pay a lot less money in the end.
Mm-hmm. Makes sense, Bob?
Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Yes, it does.
Thanks a lot for the call. Ronnie, we're going to take a break right now. Can you stick around for the rest of the hour?
Absolutely, Tom.
Okay, we've got a bunch of callers here. Normally we have a news break at this time, but we're going to because we've got so many people on the line, 866-303-2270, our phone number, with questions for Ronnie Deutsch. We'll just wrap up the hour with it. RDTC.com, by the way, Ronnie's website, and our tip of the hat, and thanks to Ronnie for taking the time to share her expertise with our listeners. Tom Hartman here with you on Air America Radio. Stick around. We'll be right back.
Visit HartmanRadio.com for live streaming video of the Tom Hartman Program.
Fighting mind-numbing incompetence. Tom Hartman, nationwide, weekdays 9 to noon, AM 620 KPOJ.
Hi, Tom Hartman here. Now, I want to talk to you about gold. Gold is real money, and it's been real money for over 5,000 years. Yes, there will be fluctuations in the price of gold, but gold will still be real money when the dollar is just a footnote in history. That's why I began buying gold years ago, and now I acquire gold and silver coins through ITM Trading. You can call ITM, too, at 1-888-OWN-GOLD. That's 1-888-OWN-GOLD. There may be rumors of a strong dollar policy or rallies that send the dollar higher for a short time, but in my humble opinion, the long-term future for the dollar is very uncertain. That's why some nations don't even want U.S. dollars today. That's why I'm buying gold for the long term. So call my friends at ITM Trading and talk to their experts. They'll answer your questions and send you a free information packet about owning gold to get you started. Call 1-888-OWN-GOLD. That's 1-888-OWN-GOLD. It's really very simple. Just talk to the experts at ITM Trading. Call 1-888-OWN-GOLD. 1-888-OWN-GOLD.
Taking the complicated and making it sound simple.
This is a change in the definition of what America is.
Rachel Maddow.
We've long had a very, 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 very diverse country. We just have been very resistant to the idea that our government ought to look as diverse as our country. That has now changed. But it is also a big day for the Democratic Party. And it is a very big day for the Republican Party.
Rachel Maddow.
Which now has no obvious leader, no clear direction.
Evening, 6 to 8.
No clear guiding ideology, either economically or in terms of foreign policy.
On AM 620 KPOJ.
Have you ever found that one size doesn't fit all? Shoes, clothes, or even sporting gear, the best stuff is fitted to you. That's true for furniture, too. Ridiculously comfortable Lazy Boy reclining chairs come in over 70 unique sizes and styles. Whatever your size, tall, short, long-legged, petite, there's a chair for you. Each one features patented designs that provide full body and lumbar support, unlike cheap recliners that pretty much give you feet up, feet down, and that big gap between the seat and the back that's covered by a piece of cloth, that's not going to support you. What you really need is stylish and well-constructed Lazy Boy furniture. Each piece comes with a lifetime warranty, and with more than 1,200 fabrics and leathers to choose from, you can customize your choice so your perfectly fitted chair will perfectly complement your home. Shop our six area stores or online at lazyboyportland.com. You're home now. Put your feet up.
Do you know why you get dark circles under your eyes? Because blood leaks out of your capillaries and pools under your skin. I'm not kidding. It's just like an ugly bruise. But now you can erase dark circles with a proven breakthrough called Hydralyze. Hydralyze diminishes dark circles and tightens puffiness and bags by repairing leaky capillaries, leaving you with younger, brighter eyes. See for yourself by calling for a free trial right now. Just call 1-800-993-1669.
My husband, he can't stop complimenting me. People tell me I look 10 years younger.
Even surgery cannot deliver these stunning results. Hydralyze is so powerful it even helps build new collagen in the skin, reducing crow's feet and wrinkles. Try Hydralyze risk-free and see for yourself.
Well, I used it and, wow, the dark circles are gone. I don't look tired anymore. I feel great.
You deserve younger, brighter eyes. Call now for your free trial of Hydralyze and experience the transformation for yourself. For your free trial, call 1-800-993-1669. That's 1-800-993-1669.
Are you an embarrassment on the dance floor? Do you confuse state capitals and read too many celebrity gossip magazines? Well, if you answered yes, you may have what it takes to adopt a teen from foster care. Because teens don't need perfection, they need you. So if you think an MP3 is a computer virus, it's okay. There are thousands of teens in foster care who would love to put up with you. For more information, call 1-888-200-4005 or go to AdoptUsKids.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt Us Kids, and the Ad Council.
Now more of Tom Hartman Nationwide on Portland's progressive talk station, AM 620 KPOJ.
For We the People, your radio support group, the Tom Hartman Radio Program. Ronnie Deutsch with us, offering the tax attorney, offering her thoughts, expertise in your particular situations as they may be. RDTC.com, by the way, the website for the Ronnie Deutsch Tax Center. And Ronnie, back to the calls here, if that's all right with you.
Absolutely.
Okay. Heather in Portland, you're on the air with Ronnie.
Hi, Ronnie. Thanks for taking my call. Hey, I had a question about the offer of compromise through the Tax Revenue Service. I had talked to somebody, And they pretty much discouraged me about this. They said it's $150 to file the form, and they only accept 1 to 2% of the offers.
Heather, whomever you have spoken to, I respectfully disagree with them. Let's step back. It costs $150 to go through this program. What if you owe thousands and thousands of dollars and we could settle it for a lot less money? No matter what, the program is the greatest tax program that nobody knows about. So you've got to take a look at your factual situation, Heather. The great news about the program is it's all about you. If you can prove to the IRS two things, you do not make enough money to pay back your liability, and number two, you do not have the assets to sell or to pay off your debt, Heather, it's the greatest tax program. So I disagree with whomever told you that. As far as the statistics of how many offers are accepted, are you kidding me? 100% of the offers will be accepted if they fit the fact pattern of the program. So do you qualify for the program is really the only question I have for you.
Well, I believe I do. I have back taxes back to 98, starting out with a death benefit that I got bad tax advice over. I owe about, I think, $18,000, and, you know, about $12,000 to $13,000 of that is penalties and interest.
Yeah, so again, Heather, I don't want you to be discouraged. There's so much doom and gloom in the world. I'm here to tell you something good. Let me sprinkle some sunshine on you if you're up in Portland, Oregon. Listen
yeah.
to me. You can qualify for this program, and you can have a fresh start, meaning all this debt that you owe the IRS will be done and resolved. Here's the caveat. You've got to be a good taxpayer for 5 years. After you settle and you now owe nothing to the IRS, you must be a, what I call, a good taxpayer for 5 years. You got to file on time and pay whatever taxes you incur for the following 5 years. But that's kind of an easy hurdle to get over if you are just focused on doing the right things for the next couple of years.
There you go. Heather, definitely. Thanks a lot for the call. Thanks, Ronnie. Arlene in Florida, you're on with Ronnie Deutsch.
Hi, thank you. I'd like to ask a question about there's a distribution of a settlement from a class action lawsuit that's coming from a trust fund for that lawsuit. Is that taxable to the recipient of the...
Yes. I don't know what settlement you're involved with, Arlene. Forgive me, but yes, whatever monies you receive from that settlement, the IRS is going to want their fat chunk of it. So, yes, whatever that is and however much you receive, Arlene, your tax advisor will do your tax return and make sure that you pay the necessary taxes to the IRS.
Thanks, Arlene. Eli in Los Angeles. Hey, Eli.
Hey, Tom. Thank you for taking my call. Hello, mm-hmm. Ms. Deutsch. I have a question regarding short sale. Like everybody else in the country, you know, in L.A., we've been hit pretty hard with the recession and decreasing home values. Anyways, I'm planning on selling an investment property that I have, and I'm going to be hit with a $89,000 to $95,000 short sale. So I was just wondering if I was going to be liable for tax on the difference.
Yeah, you know what's interesting, Eli? You're our second call today who's had the exact same question on investment property. I come back to you and I say, Eli, I'm very, very proud of you that you take risk, right? You invest. You're looking to try to make money in this wonderful world we live in, but you've gotten hit by, unfortunately, the downturn of the market. The IRS will charge you what's called a cancellation of debt. So they are going to send you a 1099-C on the investment property that you walked away from. So if you walked away from a $100,000 loan, $85,000 loan, please know that you are going to get something from the IRS, Eli, because the Mortgage Debt Relief Act does not apply to investment property. I'm very sorry to tell you that.
So they're going to consider that income even though he never got a dollar in his pocket.
Isn't that pathetic, Tom? These are laws that we've got to change going forward.
Yeah, I agreed. Eli, thanks thanks for the call. Go ahead, Eli.
Yes, sir. No, thank you, sir.
Okay,
appreciate
you're
it.
Welcome. Thanks for the call. I'm sorry it's bad news. Michelle in Beaverton.
Hi, thank you guys for taking my call. My question is with regards – I have a couple questions. I'll try to make it quick. I was a grad student for part of the year last year, for a very small part of the year, about 3 months, and then I decided grad school was not the right choice in this economic time. It was medical school. And I paid that portion, whatever they prorated, of my tuition once I left school. I'm still not in repayment yet, so I still don't owe the money yet. And I was wondering what portion of that, if any, I could, you know, put on our tax forms.
And we have 30 seconds left in the show here, Ronnie.
Okay.
Yeah, first of all, Michelle, unfortunately, when you go to grad school, you can't deduct the expenses associated with grad school. I commend you for trying, but again, the IRS does not recognize and they will not invest in your education. They will for your children, right? We've got plenty of HOPE credit, lifetime learning credits for the kids, but for you, Michelle, the IRS is not going to supplement that.
Okay. So, even, and I did get that 1098-T or whatever it is from the school.
Yeah, again, you're just getting repaid your monies that you've paid in, I take it, for grad school, but you should not be paying taxes on that.
Yeah. Michelle, okay. Thanks for the call. Ronnie, thanks so much for being with us.
I love it, Tom. Thank you so much. Have a great day.
Thank you. You too. Ronnie Deutsch Tax Center, RDTC.com, and, of course, RonnieDeutsch.com, RonnieDeutsch.com, her website. Coming up tomorrow... We will be speaking with economist Dean Baker about his new book, Plunder and Blunder, plus the joblessness rate, career counselor Wendy Gelberg, and the best of the rest of the news, of course, as always. And don't forget, my friends, democracy begins with you. Tag, you're it. We'll see you tomorrow. Have a great one.
This is the Tom Hartman Program. For exclusive audio archives and more information, visit HartmanRadio.com.